consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake up call. My goodness gracious, my goodness gracious, my goodness gracious. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. Get to me. I guess what I need to know from you all, I really need to get a sense from you all. When you look at the issues that are going to confront us, that do confront us, let me put it that way. When you look at the issues that do confront us, is terrorism on the top of your list? I mean, for real, because they're getting ready to, they being those that are on vacation, the month of August vacation after 78 days of work, over $100,000, $200,000 a year, 78 days of work, budget bills not passed, health care not passed, but okay, that aside, those folks are putting together the campaign for next year, or for November. They're saying that the big issue on your mind is terrorism. And that's what they're wrapping their campaign around. How do y'all feel about that? Do you feel disrespected on that? Do you feel played for a fool? Are you scared? Gasoline is over $3 a gallon. Try to go buy some pills for your grandmama and not take a take off seven hours to try to get it done. They're telling me, they're telling us, that Democrats see security as the key issue for the fall. Lord have mercy, if that's what the Democrats see as the key issue, then we're doomed. Democrats say that they are determined not to see the issue of security, and they are working to cast Bush as having diminished the nation's safety. Can't we just get the minimum wage raised? Can't we just get to that? My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at Letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to Letstalk17.com. That's Letstalk17.com.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. There is a story, and tell me if this feels right to you. Tell me if this feels correct. Oh, no. Tell me if this feels familiar to you. Are you ready? Familiar to you. There's a report coming out of the New Yorker magazine. Seymour Hersh, I believe, wrote the story. He says that he has some sources within this administration, that would be George Bush's administration, that said that this attack on Lebanon was strategized and planned by the Bush administration prior to the alleged taking of two soldiers that crossed into Israel, so they say. Did you hear what I just said? And you want to know why it was planned this way? It was planned at all. Because if Israel went in and bombed the bejesus out of Lebanon, went in and won that war, won that assault, if Israel made Hezbollah use all their missiles on them, this would open up the door and the window and the opportunity and the pretext for going after Iran. Because all through this conflict, our good country, our good government, would be taking the position that it's Iran that's supplying Hezbollah. It's Iran that's supplying Hezbollah. See, there is a bit of a learning curve with this administration. They realize, no, we didn't find no doggone weapons of mass destruction last war we got this country into. This time we're going to be able to physically point out the weapons of mass destruction, and the weapons of mass destruction in this case are the missiles that are being shot by Hezbollah, furnished by Iran. You feel this familiarity? Because the kids that don't learn, the kids that aren't smart, they're repetitive. They just do one thing that they do, they keep doing it over and over and over again because that's all they know how to do. Boy George is no exception. He got us into Iraq on false information, on cooked intelligence, and on an agenda that had nothing to do with democracy. And he's trying to get us into Iran in the same way. Got us into Iraq that way, gonna do it again in Iran. And this Seymour Hersh is saying that this is the same thing that has happened with Lebanon. It's a setup, y'all. They have been snatching people back and forth along the border of Lebanon forever. For 20-something years. They've been snatched. Why this time? Why did Israel respond this way this time? A lot of y'all have made the observation, you know, it just doesn't seem right that all this is over two guys that are still alive. The reason why it happened is because it was planned, according to this article. And think about it. It has that familiarity. I listened to Boy George this morning say stuff that it just makes you shake your head and say, Jesus, Jesus, God. This dude is crazy. On the day of the first full day, after the first full day of a truce, a peace, if you will, Boy George is saying it's Hezbollah's fault. Israel can go get him again. And we won, and we killed Hezbollah. Boy, if you don't go sit yourself down someplace. Israel won, huh? Hezbollah lost, huh? Israel can go get him again, huh? You know what? I'm going about this the wrong way. I need to give props where props is due. This administration has said we don't need no stinking diplomacy. And they have lived up to their word. In the easiest setting, the most natural setting for some diplomatic word to be used. Okay, folks, now that peace is here, now that a truce is here, let's work this out. Boy George goes and gets napalm, gasoline, firecrackers, bottle rockets, and dumps them on the flame. and then goes to the store and gets some more. And we're not talking about a flame. He goes and finds a way to start the flame up again in order to pour gasoline on it. And napalm. And firecrackers and bottle rockets. And don't forget the frogs that he stuck the firecrackers up the behind of. He put them on there too. At what point is America going to say, dude, please get on the couch because you have some serious issues. And let somebody else run this mug. Do you hear what he is saying? In the midst of a ceasefire, he is joning on one of the parties. He is mischaracterizing the facts on the ground. And, ladies and gentlemen, he is also empowering the other half of this fragile ceasefire. Does it sound like somebody that can put the P in the word peace? I don't know. I just have to ask the question, is Boy George genetically precluded from peace? Is his life, is his emotional state so agitated that he is only comfortable when there is conflict? I mean, call me Dr. Brown if you want to. Does he only feel safety when everything else around him is in chaos? What would Laura Bush say? Yup. Those frogs weren't doing anything to anybody before he put firecrackers up their behinds. He sees peace and he grows restless. He sees prosperity and he becomes agitated. If it's quiet, he wants noise. This is madness. This is madness. Hundreds and hundreds of people have died. Thousands and thousands of people are homeless. Nature may never recover from the Exxon Valdez oil spill that is now splashing up against the shores of Lebanon. And this dude is saying, we kicked your behind, we'll come get it again. Yeah, we won, and they'll come get you again. Huh? Are you only settled when there is agitation, when there is chaos? Is it only clear to you? Does the world only become clear to you when there is chaos? That's okay in your house, but doggone, you got your finger on the ultimate chaotic act. You got your finger on the nuclear bomb. Whew, Lord. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Office Depot. Westbound 270, 367, and New Florissant looks good. Eastbound 44, Chrysler and Merrimack River Bridge is on the move. Northbound 270 is building on either side of 44. Eastbound 70, there's slight delays on either side of Bryan Road. Then once again, as you approach Mid Rivers Mall Drive, northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 at Clarkson Olive, all roadways are reopened after some early late construction work causing some delays. Traffic is easing in all your approaches under the Poplar Street Bridge. You can start to expect some delays, especially westbound Kingbridge from the Gravel Pit in the Laclede's Landing and westbound 5570 on Poplar Street Bridge. You've got paving operations. Left lane's closed and is slowing through the work zones and also at the 64 merge. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Office Depot. Now at Office Depot, your choice of 10-pack of pens or 12-pack of number 2 pencils is just 10 cents. Office Depot, taking care of business while supplies last, quantities are limited. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Mostly sunny today, high in the mid-80s this evening. Mostly clear, low around 60. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 66 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 68. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huss. Join me Thursday nights after the 7 o'clock news right here on Radio 920 as we circle the bases. Join my roundtable guests and myself as we talk about what's happening in the world of sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Yeah, we'll even talk a little NASCAR, and yeah, we'll even talk a little poker. We'll circle the bases. That's what the show's all about. 7:05, Thursday night, right here on Radio 920.
Philip Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
It's not the pale moon that excites me, that thrills and delights me. Oh no, yes, just an earnest you. It is your sweet conversation.
Well, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. I look at this world that we find ourselves in. I look at this world that we find ourselves in. And I can't help but be very concerned about the state of this country and the state of this world. We have front page stories of the destruction that has occurred in Lebanon. Pictures of little girls and grown men and grown women coming back home to destruction. And the question has to be asked, why? First of all, why? And second of all, who was the victor in this? Hezbollah is looked upon as the victor, the winner, the person, the people with the moral high ground. After this, they are heroes. And not just in Lebanon, but throughout the entire Muslim world, throughout the Middle East. And you know what? I think that there are people all throughout the world that understand what has happened in Lebanon with respect to Hezbollah. And the other piece of this is, it is a reminder of the history that too many people do not have. What has happened in Lebanon also happened in Syria. Israel still occupies Syria. And when the believe it's known as the Golan Heights, and when Israel was pushed out of part of Syria prior to their leaving, Israel went and flattened. And the UN has criticized Israel for just flattening, just bombing houses and making sure that nobody, Israel occupied Syria. Once they were pushed out of Syria, they trashed Syria, or trashed parts of the Golan Heights, just trashed it. Sound familiar? And there are Syrian people who cannot visit their families because of the occupation in Syria by Israel. And now, people are being told that Syria is on the side of Hezbollah. How awful, how crazy for Syria to be on the side of Hezbollah, huh? Huh? Israel occupies part of Syria. Huh? WGNU, that's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Korean veteran, good morning.
Ms. Brown, thank you for taking my call. You know, I have missed a day of your program, even though I haven't called, but I also heard about the article about Seymour Hersh.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's coming up, I would say that you have to look at the Hezbollah. They didn't have no planes or nothing.
No, they didn't.
And the way Israel bombed them and carried on, anytime you can make a stand and still, they thought that they would exhaust all of Hezbollah's missiles that they had. So I'm saying now the next 10 days, you know, they're supposed to be about, what is it, about 15,000 troops or so put on right there on the border in the lines.
That's
know.
Right.
So if they don't get those in there, this thing could still
Lebanese flare. And Lebanese troops.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 15,000.
I heard that most of the troops that they're being able to get it would be from Malaysia, somewhere along in there.
How's that? How you think that's going to work out?
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's going to work too well.
Mm.
And one other thing I would like to say is that what the U.S. was doing was trying to draw Syria and Iran into it, and they wanted to, you know, go farther. That's what.
Well, they wanted to use this action as a pretext to go after Iran, and also to so that the United States couldn't afford the ground troop war in Lebanon.
Because
so,
we're in Afghanistan and Iraq.
There you go.
And now you're gonna open up a third front with U.S. troops. I don't think so.
Well, that's what the plan of that's what George's plan was.
And when the ship was hit out there, supposed to been hit by Hezbollah, they claim that it was a missile, you know, from either Iran or either Syria.
And I guess the question is that who cares? Who in the world is really concerned about this besides George Bush and his administration and Israel? Because the world did not seem to get angry about the concept of, okay, so that's a Syrian missile. Now what?
Well, all of this, but the other day, the first time when this happened, I wanted to try to get in to call you, but it's sad, and I say this, for three people, they did all this killing of other people.
Mm,
so
it's horrible.
If we don't hurry up and get this administration out, Ms. Brown, we're going down. You have a blessed day.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Every paper on the front page today seems to be, I'm curious to see the repercussions of this. Every paper has a front page story about the population of America, because the results of the census report. And there's one article in USA Today about whites are smaller share of the population. It seems like just about in every state, whites are decreasing in the percentage of the population. And the biggest change was in Maine. Maine was, whites were 98% of the population in 1990. They are now 96% of the population in 2005. In New Hampshire, in 1990, they were 97% of the population, and now they are 93% of the population. In North Dakota, white folks in 1990 were 94.2% of the population. In 2005, they are 90% of the population. Mm. Whites are decreasing. New immigrants, is this the reason for all of the hoopla? New York, whites were 69.3% of the population. Now whites are 60.7% of the population. Check this out. In 1990, whites were 60.6% of the population in Texas. Guess what they are now? 48% of the population. I guess that explains the Minutemen along the border. In California, whites were 57.2% of the population. They are now 43% of the population. The only place where white people are growing in population, District of Columbia. In 1990, white folks were 27% of the population. They're now 29% of the population. Whoo! Y'all need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. I'll give you what the white population is in Missouri when we get back. Stay with me.
Congress aren't the only ones up late at night. Join the Conspiracy Hunter every weeknight from 11 to 1. That's right, the decent guy Don Griffin will be flying his black helicopter under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and around the world. Tune into the Conspiracy Hunter Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
The Illinois Department of Transportation thanks you for making the Orange Ribbon campaign an increasing success. Worker injuries in construction areas went down last year. Now the bad news. Vehicle injuries went up. Now, here's your safety reminder. Even when workers aren't present, you still need to slow down. Construction areas are dangerous for all drivers all the time. For your own sake, obey posted speed limits. Photo enforcement vans are now in use. Break the law and you will be fined. Keep everyone alive. Drive 45. A message from the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Catch me Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to 11, After Dark with Guy.
There is no sex allowed whatsoever.
I just can't imagine having a whole bunch of naked people running around and stuff not happen. You know, it's got to happen at times.
You get to know people by who they are, not what they wear.
For a look at the world around you, Monday through Fridays, 10 to 11 on AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Men who like horses will even lie to themselves, to themselves. A friend once said, and I found to be true, that everyday people, they lie to God too. So what makes you think that they won't lie to you?
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Missouri has gone from 86.9% to 83% population change for white folks all across America. What does this mean? What does this mean? But I will tell you this, that it is on the front page of every newspaper. It's on the front page of every newspaper, the population shifting that is going on. Maine with the largest shift from 98% in 1990 to 96% in 2006. Vermont is not far behind with 98.1% in 1990 to 96%. In 2005, Iowa, interestingly enough, I mean, the top, it's interesting that the top states where there's been the largest decrease in white population, Maine is number one, Vermont, West Virginia, New Hampshire, Iowa, North Dakota, Montana, Kentucky, Wyoming, South Dakota, Idaho, and Minnesota and Wisconsin. Those are the top 10. And Missouri is in the top 20 in the number of population change, shifting white population into a smaller category. And what, interestingly enough, the least amount of change is the District of Columbia, New Mexico. Isn't that something? Hmm. And I bet you didn't know this, in Arkansas, the 1990 percentage of white folks was 82%, and it has gone to 77% in 2005. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. D.
The top of the morning to you, my dear Brown.
The rest of the day to you.
Thank you so much. You know, I don't know, maybe, you know, I was taking so many courses when I was in college that I might have misunderstood this. But I was working with a black Indian from India.
Okay.
And he argued me forever that he was a Caucasian. And he was darker than I, you know. And I said, how can you allow someone to convince you that your black self is white? I'm a Caucasian. When I was in college initially, they were different. But when you can convince a race of people because they have straight hair that they're Caucasians, the Caucasian race will never diminish.
Well,
and this is what I see.
That's fascinating. That's a fascinating thing. Why did he think that he was Caucasian?
Because that's the way they classed them. That's the, watch your statistics. You are an honorary Caucasian.
But I understand.
Not only was he convinced. Most of the Indians from the Hindus and things think that they're Caucasians. They think that.
I've never met one that has said I am Caucasian.
You have to talk to them. I have worked with them.
Why would you think that?
It's just like they have the black, Hispanic.
Here's a theory. If there is a cultural understanding of a caste system, if you come from a culture that has a caste system, India, there is a caste system where certain people, by virtue of their birth, are at the bottom and are to be spit upon, and other people, by virtue of their birth, I mean, they look just like one another, but they, by virtue of their birth, they are not part of the caste system. I guess it wouldn't take an individual long to come to the United States and peep the caste system here in the United States, I would guess that those that would make it to the United States are not part of the caste that is looked down upon in India, so they've already separated themselves out, theoretically, from the bottom of the caste in India. So when you get to the United States, you peep what the caste system is in the United States, and you make a determination, oh, I ain't part of the other caste.
But it doesn't really work like that, because this one doctor confronted a white nurse, and I was reviewing charts. They didn't even see me. And this doctor said something to her, and boy, she turned on him as if, how dare you? And when she got through chastising him, he's a doctor, she's a nurse, when she got through chastising him, I turned and looked at him, and I said, oh, you see now, don't you? You understand that you're not white. But you have to be in certain situations to see this, because that is actually how it's perceived. And I don't know if it's caste or not, because some of the ones that come here are still poor.
Well, it's still not part of the caste system, though. That's, the caste isn't so determined solely by economics. In fact, it is
the status.
Yes, absolutely. So you can be poor and still not be part of that caste system. So
I think it's your consciousness if you accept it.
But also, yeah, it is part of your consciousness, but it is also part of your worldview. If you come from a culture that says there are people by virtue of their birth that are part of a lower class of people, never to be changed, and never to, and you, by virtue of your birth, you're automatically part of the haves. It's hard to remove that ideology and worldview from your worldview. So it ain't about color as much as it is about an understanding of who's part of the in crowd. But America, like you said, should white America should make it very clear to you that you are not part of the caste system.
But they don't. As long as it's beneficial to them, mm-hmm. it creates dissension among people.
Mm. Okay.
Anyway, thank you very much.
All right, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. And again, if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. As I said earlier, one of the things that I don't know how this is going to percolate into. I don't know how this is going to be part of. I suspect and I predict that this will be part of the campaign issues that we see in November. And it's one of those battles that it may not be clearly stated, but it will be behind this. It will be a whispering campaign, if you will. That the immigrants are coming. The immigrants are coming. Indiana saw a 34% increase in the number of immigrants. South Dakota saw a 44% rise. Delaware saw a 32% rise. Missouri, 31%. Colorado, 28%. New Hampshire, 26%. And I wonder if there's going to be a whispering campaign during this election season of who is going to do the deed and keep white people from losing their foothold. It was fascinating for me. I was on a panel discussion with Jocelyn Elders and some folks. Sammy Jones was one of the people on this. He's a former member of the Clergy Coalition, supporter of Francis Slay. And it was it was such an interesting moment on the panel discussion back in the Black Expo when the question of immigration came up. And Sammy Jones said, that's just fascinating. It started to get ugly. I kind of sat back to wait to see how others were going to respond to this, the question of illegal immigrants. And I heard Sammy Jones say out his mouth that they're everywhere. Baby, have you looked in the mirror? How are you distinguishing yourself as a us and a them? Because the us that you're trying to get with don't consider you part of the you and the s. And it started to take an ugly toll until a couple of us were like, you know what? Undocumented workers ain't the problem here in America. You better understand that any rule, any intolerant rule directed at undocumented workers will be used against you as well. Ask the brothers in Florida on the rooftop that were told that they were terrorists. And they look just like you. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. Don't be scared, kill me, brother. Stop
being. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that All men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say, for the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albany. It is a prediction from Syrian President Assad there will be no peace in the Mideast, not lasting peace, even with a ceasefire to end Israel's war with Lebanese Hezbollah fighters, which has now been in place for over 24 hours.
In a major address, Syrian President Bashar Assad, one of Hezbollah's key patrons, hailed what he called the group's defeat of Israel. That victory, he said, crushed U.S. plans for a new Middle East. He also said that while the U.S. is critical to Mideast peace, peace cannot be achieved under the Bush administration. Israel says that Syria has armed and supplied Hezbollah, and that some of the rockets that hit Israel were made in Syria.
ABC's Matt Gutman in Jerusalem. Dude, you better check your Dell. ABC's Aaron Kutursky has more on a huge recall by the computer maker and how it could pose an even bigger risk.
Pure Dell.
Dell is recalling more than 4 million Sony-made notebook computer batteries because they could erupt in flames.
Lithium ion has always sort of had this potential as sort of the dirty little secret here.
Wired Magazine's Mark McCluskey says lithium-ion batteries power cell phones, cordless drills, and digital cameras, and have always carried some risk of catching fire.
A lot of our gadgets run on technology that does leave some questions.
Especially since people tend to bring those gadgets onto airplanes. Aaron Kutursky, ABC News, New York.
Speaking of the airplane, take the carry-on bag. Travelers in Britain are getting a bit of a break.
While passengers flying out of Heathrow and Gatwick can still expect cancellations and delays, security restrictions are being eased at both UK airports. Passengers can now carry on a single laptop-sized bag, but liquids with the exception of baby food, formula, and prescription medicines are still banned. Airport operators say while the situation is improving, searches mean delays are still likely, and anyone traveling over the next few days should allow extra time.
ABC's Linda Albin and London. Another Hollywood couple calling it quits. Actress Kate Hudson and her husband Chris Robinson of the band The Black Crowes have a 2-year-old son. They've been married for 6 years. This is ABC News.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn, and
dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore leg. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers. You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Felicia, I know that flavoring milk is a good way to get my kids to drink more milk, but is there a difference in chocolate milk flavorings?
There really is. Compare the nutrition in rich chocolate Ovaltine to Nesquik powder and see the difference. Ovaltine contains over twice as many vitamins and minerals as Nesquik, so Ovaltine's more nutritious. And kids love the taste of rich chocolate Ovaltine. When it comes to nutrition, Ovaltine's the better choice.
More Ovaltine, please!
The man who founded and for years has run a camp to bring together Israeli and Arab teens is calling it quits.
In the past 13 years, the Seeds of Peace camp in Otisfield, Maine, has brought together several thousand Israeli and Arab teens, Bosnian Muslims and Serbs, Indians and Pakistanis in search of common ground. 65-year-old Tim Wilson says he learned a thing or two about conflict resolution growing up black on the streets of Pittsburgh. Wilson, who created closed-door coexistence sessions for kids whose families were at war back home, says he advises campers to stop talking and start listening, and don't argue religion because you can't win. His tenure as camp director ended as a new ceasefire in Lebanon began. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
It's nothing new. Kids aren't getting the exercise they used to, but the problem may be getting a little more attention now that the American Heart Association is saying so in a scientific statement. Among the findings, only 8% of the nation's elementary schools have gym class every day. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a North County man is in custody for allegedly killing his roommate. The victim was shot yesterday morning at a home in the 200 block of Shoreham. Two other people were in the home, reportedly including a child, but they weren't injured. Police aren't releasing the names of the suspect or the victim. Many in St. Louis are glad about the Israeli Hezbollah ceasefire, but are skeptical about a lasting peace. Rabbi Shmuel Greenwald is the educational director for the Aisha Torah Center for Jewish Studies in St. Louis.
You know, Hezbollah is, as we all know now, it's really a wing of the Iranian army. And Iran is a sworn enemy of Israel, has sworn to destroy Israel, and it's hard to believe that there's going to be any kind of peace with Hezbollah right on the border there.
He says that real change can only happen if the people of Lebanon demand it. Greenwald says St. Louisans should pray for an end to the conflict. Finally this hour, relief is in sight for some needy St. Louisans struggling with the summer heat. The Carrier Cool Down Caravan arrives in St. Louis today. The heating and air conditioning company is teaming up with Cool Down St. Louis to distribute 125 window unit air conditioners through several area social service agencies. The air conditioners will be installed next week in the city of St. Louis and 10 other counties in the metro area. This WGNU News report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play pick 3 from the Illinois Lottery. Watch for green ball double draw. 1 green ball, 2 chances to win. Illinois Lottery. Have a ball. Play responsibly. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Gateway Clean Air Program. Westbound 44 from Hampton, no problems to report after earlier debris in the roadway. Westbound 270 at West Forest and 170, look for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Marshall, look for heavy volume there. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume going on there as well. Westbound 270 from Illinois 203 to Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 55 at Butler Hill and 270, look for heavy volume going on there as well. Northbound 55 at Bayless and Corona was slow due to bright sunshine, so please use extra caution. And all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are slow, as well as King Bridge and the Eads Bridge going into downtown. That's due to the fact that westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, paving operations are going on, and traffic is slow around the 64 merge. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Gateway Clean Air Program. The Gateway Clean Air Program, reminding motorists to check engine light if vehicle is on. It's a way of saying it's time for a checkup. GatewayCleanAir.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s today. Mostly clear, low around 60 tonight. Mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s again on Wednesday and Thursday. Mostly sunny with a high near 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies and our current temperature rests at 64 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 66. Stay tuned now. It's time for more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour or 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. As I have said time and time again, we are living in amazing times. Scary times, if you will. Gasoline is $3.19 a gallon. And I don't think that there's an American out there that believes that gas prices are going to go down again, that they're only going to go up. We're living in times of oil spills, gas gouging, extraordinary profit. While our gas prices go up. And unfortunately, or problematically, if you will, what is being offered as a solution to our energy, to the energy crisis that this nation finds itself in, this nation that has been depicted as addicted to oil, the solution has been, well, you know, we need to go nuke. That is going to be the answer to our energy crisis, our energy addiction. This will be the methadone for our heroin addiction. Huh? Really? We need to talk about that. Are we ready? Are we capable? Are we, is it safe? Are we a nation that could handle such a responsibility safely? Well, let's talk about that. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., Paul Gunter, the director of the Nuclear Watchdog Program for the Nuclear Information and Resource Service. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Very good. Is going nuke the solution for America's energy issues?
Absolutely not. In fact, if we go back down this path of nuclear power, we will lose what precious little time and resource we have to actually implement the real solutions like energy efficiency, conservation, solar power, wind power. I mean, you're living in the Saudi Arabia of wind power right there, Missouri. We could be harvesting that wind. Instead, the Bush administration and the nuclear industry's champions in Congress are looking to build more of the same.
Well, how about this? Because I one of the challenges that confronts me daily, Paul, as I do my show, is the problem of history, that a lot of people don't retain or know the history of various and sundry issues. Can we do a little history lesson? Can we do a little 101 on how this country has the history of this country with nuclear energy?
Sure.
Okay.
And we can do it really quick. First of all, we go back to the very beginning was there in Chicago when the first atomic reaction was created in order to develop the basic building blocks of the atomic bomb. And that's pretty much been the starting block right there, was when that starting gun went off, it went off in a big way there at the Trinity test in New Mexico. And then it was used on two cities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And shortly thereafter, the government decided that we were in an arms race almost from the very beginning with the development of the idea that we needed more and more of these weapons of mass destruction. And the government offered to industry at that time, this would be in the early 50s, the opportunity to for the nation's industry to apply to making nuclear weapons materials, basically plutonium, and as a byproduct to generate electricity from the excess waste heat from this nuclear weapons building process. And that's really the very beginning when industry took up the challenge to build more nuclear weapons, and it's been a very dangerous path ever since then.
And we're going to have to hold that thought. We have to take a break. I'm talking with Paul Gunter. He's the director of the Nuclear Watchdog Program for Nuclear Information and Resource Service in Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger. Listen to me Wednesday, August 16th, when my guest will be Yasmin Rassam with the Independent Women's Forum. We'll be talking about why women's rights are essential to a secure Middle East. That's the Sloan Ranger Show, Wednesday, August 16th at 5 o'clock, only on WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and south. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be now. Oil wasted on the oceans.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking to Paul Gunter, director of the Nuclear Watchdog Program for Nuclear Information and Resource Service in Washington, D.C. Paul, you've talked a bit about the weaponry of nukes. Talk to us about the history of this country with the energy, with nuclear energy.
Well, after the bargain was cut to build production facilities for nuclear weapons material. The nation began the construction of nuclear power plants that essentially, by splitting the atom, the heat that's released, as well as tremendous amounts of radiation, the heat that's released is used to boil water. And we built around, I believe, around 128 of these things, starting back from the mid-50s, and we have 103 of them operating today. I think that there's a couple of historical points that we need to cover first, really quick, and that is that, first of all, this industry proved to be the most expensive, the most dangerous, and the most polluting way to boil water that man could ever conceive. We've now, in the process of splitting the atom, we've also generated more than 55,000 tons of high-level radioactive waste that are sitting all around the country in these reactors, and in very vulnerable positions as well. We're quite concerned about the era that we live in today, where airliners can be used as weapons. These nuclear power plants are vulnerable, and our nation's energy policy is taking us not only the Bush administration wants to take us back down this path to an industry that has been described as the largest managerial disaster in business history, that being the nuclear industry, but also a very vulnerable industry, as well as this an industry that doesn't know what to do with the first cupful of nuclear waste that was generated with the development of the atomic bomb, that first atomic bomb. But I think that one of the more a couple of the landmark historical points are March 28, 1979, when the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant experienced a meltdown.
And we haven't cleaned that up yet, have we?
It is still a radioactive mess out there, and they've transferred some of the radioactivity. The melted fuel has been moved to Idaho, but wherever this stuff goes, it presents a biological threat for, you know, many, many, many generations that won't get one watt of electricity. They'll get all of the threat, the harm to being exposed by radiation that gets out into the air, gets out into the water, or people who are just exposed to its shine. But the Three Mile Island accident was described as, it wasn't supposed to happen. You know, that was what was described as an incredible event. And so when that happened, people began to see that this technology is not safe. And within a few years after that, we had the Chernobyl nuclear power plant accident, and in the Ukraine. And you know, I have one quick story that I wanted to relay to your listeners that I think aptly describes the Chernobyl accident. It was a story that appeared in the New York Times in June of 1986, just a couple of months after the accident, when a Russian historian convened a press conference in Moscow, and he said, "This is incredible." And in one hand he held up a Bible, and in the other hand he held up a Ukrainian dictionary, and he opened the Bible, the Book of Revelations, chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. He says, "First of all, I want to tell you that that I'm an atheist, but this is incredible. I want to read this to you." And he read chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. It read, "And the third angel trumpeted, and a great star fell upon the earth, burning as it were a lamp. And the name of the star is Wormwood. And it fell upon a third of the waters, rivers, and fountains. And it made the water bitter. And many men died because the water was made bitter." And he closed the Bible, and he opens up the Ukrainian dictionary, to the word wormwood, which translates in Ukrainian to Chernobyl.
Mm.
And, you know, the New York Times story goes on to talk about how people all across Europe, Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, even if, as far away as England and Cumbria, were sitting down to their dinner at night and not knowing if their food and their water was contaminated by the fallout from a nuclear power plant that blew up, in some cases, more than 2,000 miles away. So a third of the water, rivers, and fountains. I mean, I think that phrase has always stuck with me since I've read that article.
Well, then the question becomes, Paul, can a Chernobyl happen here?
Absolutely. Right now, one of our biggest concerns is that the nuclear industry, you know, because the electricity market is so competitive, the nuclear power industry, which is, again, the most expensive way to boil water, you know, they're constantly looking for ways to trim their costs, whether it's, maintenance, a little less maintenance here, a little less inspection there, and a little less security here, keep your costs down. And in that sense, profit margins are in competition with our public safety and security margins with this industry. And as this industry gets older, it gets more decrepit. And the prospect of building more nuclear power stations, they're looking at ways of cutting corners at how they can reduce the construction costs that were the downfall of this industry in the 1980s. Let's remember, there have been no new nuclear power plants built in this country since the first the last successful order in 1973. There have been no new orders since 1978. You know, this what the Bush calls as a nuclear renaissance is nothing more than an atomic relapse to a failed energy policy, a failed market. It's no longer a marketable industry if you figure these tremendous costs of construction.
Well, why would anybody want to build one if there are this many problems? And where are there Exxon type of profits waiting people to build this? Why would anybody want to build one?
Well, I think the primary reason is to protect an empire, the empire of the nuclear weapons, nuclear power industry, and in fact, the nuclear power side is teetering on collapse. Because of its expense, and as a result, the way to revive this industry from the morgue table is to basically get the U.S. government to subsidize new construction, and that's primary, and also to get the U.S. taxpayer to finance this industry so that they can build new nuclear power stations around the world, like in India, for example. Right now, we're talking about sending nuclear technology over to India, which in fact will fuel a nuclear arms race between Pakistan and India, right, that is of a concern today. And so instances where border skirmishes over places like Kashmir, daily threaten us with conventional war between Pakistan and India. With a nuclear technology, it threatens the world with nuclear war.
So what about the health components of this, Paul? If we look at what happened with Chernobyl, and the Chernobyl, what is it, 19 years ago? Was it 19? Has it been 19 years?
1986.
Okay, so 19 years. We need to talk about the health repercussions of what happened with Chernobyl if we're going to be talking about the possibilities of a Chernobyl happening here. Can we talk about that when we come
back?
Sure.
When that accident happened, it was 20 years ago,
And we have to take a break.
Okay.
We have to take a break. We'll be back with Paul Gunter, the director of the Nuclear Watchdog Program for the Nuclear Information and Resource Service in Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Gateway Clean Air Program. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, there's an accident on right shoulder and traffic is back up through Spady. They should be easing by now. Westbound 70 at Grand, there's a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked. Westbound 270 at West Florissant. And 170, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass through Merrimack River. Look for heavy volume in the right lane. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Marshall. Look for delays there as well. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and Mid Rivers. Very heavy volume in pockets. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson through Mason. Look for heavy volume there as well. And all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are slow this hour. That's basically due to the fact that westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got delays there going on through 4th Street due to the left lane being closed because of paving operations. Also, westbound East Bridge and westbound King Bridge traffic coming into the city, you can expect delays there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Gateway Clean Air Program. The Gateway Clean Air Program reminding motorists that when the check engine light is on, it's a vehicle's way of saying it's time for a checkup. GatewayCleanAir.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s today, mostly clear, low around 60. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s, and Friday, mostly sunny, high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have sunny skies, and our current temperature is 64. Lambert Field is reporting 66. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is it time to make a change?
Tune in to Sort It Out with professional organizers Lori and Claire, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m., and we'll share with you everything we know from our expertise in organizing, be it life, home, or business, to us motivating and empowering you to go after your dreams and goals.
We are known as the dynamic duo, and we can rescue you from your organizing challenges. We want to encourage you to get real with your life and regain control.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning I am talking to Paul Gunter. He is the director of the Nuclear Watchdog Program for the Nuclear Information and Resource Service. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the feasibility and the practicality of going nuke here in the United States. And we were talking, Paul, before the break about whether or not Chernobyl can happen here. And one of the issues I'd like to talk about 20 years after Chernobyl are the health ramifications. Are people still suffering as a result of the of what happened in Chernobyl?
Absolutely. You know, there's... there are many studies that have been taken up over the years since the Chernobyl accident in 1986 in the Ukraine. But the consequences have been clear that the spread of that radioactive cloud after the plant blew up and burned for 10 days, with radioactive fuel going up in that cloud of smoke. What happened was that, you know, people all across Ukraine, Belarus, Russia, Europe were exposed to this radioactive fallout. And what we know is, what's undisputable, is that there is no safe level of radiation. Every little bit that you get, whether you stand out in the sun too long, or you have radon in your basement, or if you're exposed to radioactive fallout, is that adds to your risk of getting a cancer, a blood disease, any number of illnesses that can be generated by exposure to even minute and prolonged amounts of radiation. But one of the more recent studies that has come out of the Chernobyl accident is the TORCH report, which looks at projecting about 60,000 deaths from this accident as a result of radiation exposure. But, you know, it's always going to be difficult to trace a radiation exposure to a specific cancer because, you know, in this case, these bullets, they don't leave holes. They're really tiny. The damage that they do is on a cellular level.
But can we measure it, Paul, from the perspective of at least the numbers of people that have been treated for medical problems as a result of Chernobyl? I mean, doesn't that rank in the millions?
The costs of medical treatment in Belarus, Ukraine, and Russia are staggering. There are a number of programs that are looking to aid particularly children that have been exposed, because children are the most vulnerable to radiation.
And these are radiation-linked illnesses, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of children that have been treated.
Well, you know, the numbers are going up, the exposures to this radiation are going to occur for, you know, many generations. Again, I think the most disturbing thing about nuclear power is that while, you know, the industry is making profits today, they're leaving a toxic legacy for countless generations who won't get any of the benefits, but we'll get all of the radioactive legacy in our water, in our air, in our soil, in our food. As these plants operate, they routinely release radioactivity into the air and into the water. The Missouri River right now is a dumping ground for the Callaway Nuclear Power Station operated by Ameren. And there have actually been, we've just most recently discovered that the Callaway Nuclear Power Station has also been leaking radioactivity into the groundwater, which then begins, an invisible plume that moves underground, potentially affecting people's drinking water, agricultural water, water use for recreation, and again, these are the kinds of accidents that there are no sirens that go off.
Well, in fact, don't we have, not only are there no sirens, but shouldn't we be concerned about the PR campaigns that go on to protect the news from getting out at all, prevent the sirens from going off at all?
Absolutely. The there's a big concern right now our organization was principal in exposing that the nuclear industry has been spilling radioactivity into groundwater for decades and not told anybody about it. This story originally broke in Braidwood, Illinois, but what we're discovering is there are plants all across the country, including the Callaway Nuclear Power Station there in Missouri, that have been leaking radioactivity into groundwater and not only not telling anybody about it, but not taking responsibility for cleaning it up, if that's even a choice. I mean, the only relevant protection is prevention, and that's why we don't want to see any more of these things being built, and that we put together an energy policy, which is readily available today, to phase out this very dangerous, polluting, and most expensive way of generating electricity as soon as possible.
What are the chances of that, Paul?
Well, we need the political will first.
Well, okay, I understand.
I
understand this administration. Okay, this administration is, their reign is done in a couple of years. Okay, we're done with them. But where does Congress stand with this? Where is the will of Congress to look at this as a mistake, to go down this, to begin to build these plants again? Where's the will of Congress?
Right. Well, we have to make our voices loud and clear, our voice needs to be loud enough that that Congress is not willing, that they're going to take action to take industry's big hand out of their pocket. Out of our pocket.
But we haven't built any plants in decades, right?
Absolutely.
So clearly Congress has not been on the path of trying to build them. And from what I'm hearing from you is that the energy for this new push to build these new plants is coming from this administration. When this administration leaves, will there be a Congress that remains that will be interested in carrying out the will of this administration?
I think that certainly with the exit of the Bush administration, the push for new nuclear power stations will be dramatically weakened.
Mm.
But we need to address, an energy policy for the 21st century, not one from the 1950s. We need to address a new era that looks to the sun, that looks to the wind, and the bounty of renewable energy coupled with energy-efficient refrigeration, lighting.
Let's talk about some of that when we come back. I'm talking to Paul Gunter, director of the Nuclear Watchdog Program for Nuclear Information and Resource Service, joining us from Washington, D.C. This is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Tuesday in the 7:45 time slot.
Everything's coming up, roses Hey, everybody. I'm Scott Cooper. I want to invite you to tune in to my show, Floral Design Inside and Out, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. right here on WGNU. Join me as I take you on a journey inside the incredible world of flowers. I'll entice you with ideas from weddings to home entertaining and so very much more. I'm all about flowers and a whole lot of fun. Please join me Tuesdays at 10 a.m. as we stop and smell the flowers right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for Awaken to Yourself.
It's the show where you'll discover ways to take care of your body, experience your feelings,
relax your mind, embrace your dreams, and do what you love. If you're at work, listen online at WGNU.net.
You won't want to miss it.
Awaken to Yourself, Tuesdays at 11.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
This is a message to all those who've been trying.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and this hour I am talking to Paul Gunter. He is the director of the Nuclear Watchdog Program for the Nuclear Information and Resource Service, joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about why we should not go nuke, and then what I'd like to talk about now, Paul, is you mentioned wind as an alternative energy source. How realistic is that? How much would it cost? Why haven't we done it by now?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, you all are sitting out in the what's the equivalent of the Saudi Arabia of wind power? All across the Midwest, the wind is blowing somewhere all the time. And with the development of wind turbines, the state of the technology that we have today, wind is a extremely competitive way to generate electricity. Your fuel is just blowing around. There is no fuel cost. There is no radioactivity. There is no smokestack. There is no threat from terrorism.
Well, wait a minute. There was a news story that came out from pertaining to this administration, and there are some concerns that have been articulated by Homeland Security about the use of some of these wind machines and the threat to national security with the height of them and the use of them. Are you familiar with that
story?
Well,
I think that the administration, again, is using misinformation and spin to essentially push its own agenda. The fact of the matter is wind is affordable, wind is safe, their fuel is renewable. There are some problems associated with migratory bird migration patterns and the use of wind power, but there are these issues are being addressed through finding the primary prime locations of setting up wind turbines so that they don't interfere with bird migration patterns, there's no question that if you compare the security risks associated with nuclear power,
a plane cannot be driven into a windmill and cause great damage to this nation.
The other piece of this is that we begin to establish an energy policy where our generation systems are distributed across the country
What does that mean?
Well, rather right now we have these very large centralized facilities that primarily nuclear power. Nuclear power provides about 20% of our electricity today in this country, but these are very large facilities, like 1,000 megawatts each. And so when one of these things goes down because of mechanical error or an accident or refueling, a very large section of our electricity distribution is taken down.
And that's not smart planning.
It's not smart planning, particularly from a security point of view as well. And a more secure, a sustainable energy policy is when we, for example, we begin incorporating our energy systems into our architecture. Right now we can, other countries, Germany, Sweden, Japan, are incorporating photovoltaic panels into their roofing materials, into their, sun-sensitive, transparent coverings that go over windows that allow the sun to come in, capture that energy, and generate electricity through windows. Now we are in a 21st century where we can harvest tremendous amounts of energy that fall on our Earth every day, that generate wind, that generate tide, current. The heat from the Earth itself can provide us with power. But we also have to use it smartly. We have to stop being a wasteful country. We've got national laboratory studies right now that show that we could cut our demand by 47% and increase our lifestyle, our quality of life, if we make applications of energy efficiency through applications at residential, commercial, and industrial levels.
Well, in terms of the pocketbook, I've got to go pay an electric bill today. And because it's been a relatively hot summer, my bill is going to be pretty high. What are the cost savings to the average consumer? I mean, can it be said that this would be more cost efficient for the consumer?
It's absolutely going to save consumers money if we can get away from a centralized energy source is essentially what the Bush administration is building right now is the same monopoly the new name for the GOP is gas, oil, and plutonium, and that's what we're faced with today is a policy that binds us to not an energy future, but a destructive energy past that has caused all the problems with global warming the threat of radiation and all of the ills associated with a energy policy dependent upon fossil fuel and nuclear power. We've got to break this old pattern and break up this incredibly entrenched monopoly that continually puts profit margins ahead of public safety and security margins.
Well, in the meantime, Paul, what kind of legislation needs to be in place or in force to keep us safe from what we have already, the nuclear power plants that we have already? What's not being done or what needs to be done?
Well, the first and foremost, I think, is to put the nuclear power industry in a place where they have to pay all the real costs.
Mm.
Let's show what the real costs are. When it becomes apparent that this industry cannot produce 1 watt of electricity without relying upon the public for its insurance policy, for example, right now we've got the industry calls these new reactors is inherently safe. They're going to go back to this Price-Anderson Act, which, first of all, establishes an artificially low liability insurance policy, so that the U.S. taxpayer takes all the risk if a nuclear accident were to occur, and protects the nuclear industry from the full costs of an accident. No private insurer in the world will insure nuclear power today.
Mm.
That has to be done by the governments that support nuclear power.
Mm.
And
so starve them out.
I think that one key piece of at least legislative direction is to make the real cost known, and so and to raise the so that this industry has to pay full freight for what are the real costs of generating expensive and dangerous and polluting nuclear power.
So starve them out of business. Because
just as there have been no new, if you go to Standard & Poor's today, the Wall Street investment watch group, they're going to tell you that new nuclear power plants are not a wise investment. And in fact, part of the reason that no nuclear operator has announced new construction today is they're worried that that announcement will reduce their stock to junk bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Standard & Poor's has said. So, there are many, many, many obstacles, and some of the biggest ones are economical to this industry for its revival. But let's remember the reason that we're seeing this Bush push for new reactors is this industry is in its death throes, and these are desperate measures, they're creating new mythology to try to sell the American public on this very old mistake. What was promised originally as the peaceful atom, and turned out to be the nuclear bomb. Now they're offering a new myth that the second coming of nuclear power is the savior from global climate change. And nothing could be farther from the truth. If we make waste the tremendous amounts of time and money to build a new generation, particularly on the scale that would need to be built, we've only got 103 operating reactors in this country today. They're talking about 500, 600 reactors.
And that would be 500, 600 targets.
Targets and polluters.
Mm.
And and the construction time, the cost of construction to build those things, that's going to take us away from the real solutions, harvesting the wind, the sun, and coupling it with wise energy use.
Paul Gunter, director of the Nuclear Watchdog Program for the Nuclear Information and Resource Service. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you, Liz.
Take care now.
Bye bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow made.
Revolution in the air, tell me, brothers, how do you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Do you have a Dell laptop? If you do, you might want to see if the battery's been recalled. ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
The Sony laptop batteries could overheat or catch fire. Dell says it installed them in more than 4 million computers it sold over a two-year period beginning in April 2004. Since Sony made similar units for other manufacturers, other companies may also end up announcing recalls.
It's not just how the batteries could explode, it's where, ABC News consumer correspondent Elizabeth LeMay explains.
It's not just Dell batteries. In a frightening incident in February, a UPS cargo plane at 31,000 feet. Suddenly smoke, then fire. Miraculously, the plane lands safely with no one hurt. The suspected cause? Lithium-ion computer batteries.
The recall involves Dell's Latitude, Inspire, and XTS and Precision models made from April 2004 through July 2006. A ceasefire to end the fighting between Israel and Lebanese Hezbollah fighters has been in effect now for more than 24 hours, and there's talk of a possible prisoner exchange.
It's a reminder that the two kidnapped Israeli soldiers, whose abduction touched off the month-long conflict, still have not been returned. Israeli authorities now publicly say that they hold 13 captured Hezbollah guerrillas alive and the bodies of dozens more for a possible swap. A top former Israeli Secret Service official has been named to handle the delicate negotiations.
ABC's Vic Ratner in northern Israel. Is your town getting a little more multicultural?
8 metropolitan areas now have immigrant populations of 1 million or more, including New York, Washington, Miami, Chicago, Houston, Dallas, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. But the latest interim Census Bureau survey also finds huge increases in immigrant populations, both legal and illegal, in states including Delaware, Arkansas, and Nebraska.
ABC's Barbara Britt. Expect to hear a big job cut soon. Experts say Labor Day is usually the start of a major downsizing trend. This is ABC News.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service that big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Into Office Depot today for incredible deals on great tools to start school. Now at Office Depot, two pocket paper portfolios are 10 for a dollar, and one subject wirebound notebooks are just 6 for 60 cents. And for all your qualified school supply purchases, Office Depot will give 5% back in credits to your child's school. So hurry into Office Depot for great back to school deals. Taking care of business at Office Depot. See store for details. While supplies last, quantities limited.
It sounds almost too far-fetched to be true. A political candidate in Nevada is dead, but there's a lot more to his story than that.
Nevada Comptroller Kathy Augustine's first husband, older by 16 years, died even as he seemed to be recovering from a stroke. 3 weeks later, she went to Hawaii with the 8 years younger Chaz Higgs, who had been her husband's nurse, and they got married. Well, last month, Higgs says he found Kathy dead. It was initially ruled the 50-year-old Augustine had a heart attack, but a preliminary autopsy found no sign of heart trouble. And as that report came out, Higgs slashed his wrist in a failed suicide attempt. Her death is under investigation. If she wins the primary, the GOP will have to pick someone else to replace her in the November race. Gil Gross, ABC News.
With the price of gas on the rise, you may be looking for other ways to commute, maybe on a Segway scooter. They're being souped up. You can steer the new ones just by leaning in the direction you want to go, kind of like skiing. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a suspect in the shooting of an Allerton police officer is still at large. Authorities say the off-duty officer was shot as he returned home to East St. Louis yesterday morning. The officer had reportedly confronted the suspect earlier while working security at Club Onyx in East St. Louis. Members of St. Louis's immigrant community are hoping prayer will lead to just immigration reform. Edgar Ramirez of Metropolitan Congregations United says fair immigration reform needs to build a path to citizenship and protect the borders. He says in order for that to happen, immigration reform needs to be on the federal level. Members of MCU held an interfaith prayer service yesterday morning outside where a state house committee was hearing testimony on immigration reform. Finally this hour, the St. Louis Zoo is asking for help in naming its new baby elephant. Martha Fisher, the curator of mammals at the zoo, says unlike when Raja was born, people aren't being asked to submit names.
When we did the contest before with Raja, we ended up having, you know, thousands and thousands of names to choose from, and that was really challenging.
Sundari, or beautiful woman, Nisha, or knight, Maliha, or strong and beautiful, Sashi, or moon, and Jaya, or victorious, are the names people can vote on. Votes will be accepted through August 28th at stlzoo.org. A winner will be randomly drawn from those who choose the winning name and will get to meet the new baby and receive other prizes. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Office Depot. Now at Office Depot, your choice of a 10-pack of pens or a 12-pack of number 2 pencils is just 10 cents. Office Depot, taking care of business. While supplies last, quantities limited. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Shell, the million-gallon giveaway. Westbound 70 at Mid Rivers Mall, an injury accident partially blocking the right lane. Eastbound 44 at Murdoch, there's an accident that's been cleared. Traffic still jamming at Elm. Westbound 40 at 270 in Mason, there's an accident that's been cleared, but they expect some delays. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass through the Merrimack River Bridge, look for heavy traffic in the right lane. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall, still heavy there. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson through Mason, heavy there as well. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 in the Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic going on there. Westbound 40 from McCausland through Hanley, you've got slow traffic. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and Mid Rivers Mall, slow traffic due to the accident in the westbound lanes. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge are a bit delayed this hour, basically due to the fact westbound 5570 on the PSB, you've got paving operations, left lanes closed. Traffic slows at the 64 merge, and the left lanes do not slow until you get to the 13th and Tudor Street exits. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Shell, the Shell Million Gallon Giveaway. Shell is giving away free gas for life to 6 lucky winners and tons of other prizes. The million-gallon giveaway, only at Shell, made to move. See official rules at participating Shell stations. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s. This evening, mostly clear, low around 60. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s. And Thursday, mostly sunny, high near 90. Currently, we have 66 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 66. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air, tell me brothers, talk to me. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me brothers, talk to me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. Take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the brothers, talk to the sister.
But the hard truth is that
sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. Couple of things. Couple of things that okay, and I'm going to start this story with a statement. I don't mean any harm. I am certainly not gloating in the misfortunes of anyone. But there just seems to be a serendipitiness of this. There seemed to be a karma-esque attachment to this story. Palestinian gunmen kidnapped two Fox News journalists. Did you hear the quotation marks? Journalists. In Gaza on Monday. Two journalists, an American and a cameraman from New Zealand. The Fox News report said the network did not know who had seized them, but negotiations were on their way to secure their release. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the abduction. It's interesting that they're saying that they're Palestinian gunmen. The witnesses said that the two vehicles blocked the journalist's transmission truck in the center of Gaza City. A masked man put a gun to a bodyguard's head, forcing him to the ground. The kidnappers then sped away with the two journalists. The Palestinian police stopped and searched the cars. A spokesman for Hamas condemned the kidnapping. Wonder how Fox is going to report on the Palestinians now. Interesting. Normally they say that when people have been taken in Gaza, it's ended with release, usually within hours. Wonder how Fox News is going to report that. Stay tuned for that. Watch out for that. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm looking at the front pages of the newspaper today. You'll hear it all over the news tonight, what this country looks like. And it's interesting, it is going to be, I predict that the story will be told from the perspective of the diminishing number of white folks in the United States of America. Interesting. I suspect that's going to be the take on it. And the reason that I suspect that is not only because of what I understand America to be, but I got to look at this contest that is going on. It's fascinating. In the New York Times today, there is a layout, a comparison, if you will, of a couple of campaigns. And the campaigns that they are comparing is the campaign of a Hillary Clinton and the campaign of a George Allen. And the reason why this is interesting is that there is someone that has been following Alan around. And they've been following him around to put up on the website the information about his campaign. And fascinating, I'm sorry, this is in the USA Today. Senators focus on re-election now but may have bigger plans for 2008. George Allen, he's a Republican. He is running in Virginia. He is, his challenger is a man by the name of Jim Webb. A recent poll shows that Allen is leading Webb 48% to 32%, with 20% undecided. Allen has aspirations to be the President of the United States. He is the son of the late Washington Redskins coach, George Allen. And I'm going to tell you what this this man said. I'm going to tell you what this man said on the campaign trail. And this is the man that wants to be president. I'm going to tell you what he said. Stay with me. You don't want to miss this.
This is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
This is the sound of a kid being bullied at school.
Where'd you get the shirt? Colorblind and things?
This is the sound of the kid telling her friend about it.
Then she makes fun of my clothes and says I'm not allowed to use the bathroom if the cool girls are in there.
Now this is the sound of that same kid telling her parents about the bully. Just because you don't hear about bullying from your child doesn't mean it's not happening.
McGruff the Crime Dog here with clues for parents to look for if bullying is upsetting their children. Kids may want to avoid school, or their grades may suffer. You gotta look for these signs, because kids don't usually talk about it. How do you stop bullies? With words. To your kid, to school officials, other concerned parents, and by going to McGruff.org.
So tonight, sit down with your kid, and you might hear this. But try asking her how her day went, and you might hear this.
Mom, something happened at school today.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. We are living in amazing times. My name is Liz Brown, and we are living in an amazing times. There is a man that is being profiled in USA Today, a man who has aspirations for to be the United States president, to be the president of the United States. He is being profiled next to Hillary Clinton. The man's name is a Republican. He is a Republican. He's running for re-election in Virginia. He has $10 million in his campaign war chest. He is number six amongst New York and Dallas residents, top out-of-state donors. He is the son of the Washington Redskins, I hate that word, coach George Allen. And here's what Georgie did as he was running for office just a few days ago. There's a young man by the name of S.R. Siddharth. He is Indian. He had been traveling with Allen with a video camera to document Allen's speeches because he was going to put them on the web campaign. During a campaign speech on Friday in Brakes, Virginia, near the Kentucky border, I imagine there are a number of trees that have borne strange fruit along that border. Allen, speaking to a group of about 100 Republican white supporters, looked at this man, S.R. Siddharth, an Indian from India. He singled him out, and he said, called him a word that sounds like Makata. Let's give a welcome to Makata here. Welcome to America and the real world of Virginia. And then he began Then George Allen began a conversation on the war on terror. Isn't it something? He looked at this man and called him Makata. Welcome to America and the real world of Virginia. He looked in this man's brown face and saw one, not an American. Number two, he felt the energy and the freedom to make a joke, a racist joke, to his audience. He felt so comfortable that he knew that he could say this and people would feel him. This is the man that wants to be president. So, you know, I have been having this discussion this morning about where it's going to, how it's going to be played, the new census results, how the story is going to be told. This is a man who's running for re-election. Imagine what he says about folks behind closed doors. If he could tee off racistly on this man. Makata, let's give a welcome to Makata here. Welcome to America and the real world of Virginia. He looked into this man's brown face and said, terrorist, I have an advantage that I can play to my Republican audience. Let me tee off on this guy because they'll get it. My audience will get it. And I don't have to worry about saying something racist. Not on the border of Kentucky to 100 white Republican supporters. I don't have anything to worry about here. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? And this is the man, according to USA Today, this is the man that wants to be president, who is angling to be president, who is working hard to be president. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My name is Liz Brown. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up, get to me. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com, revolution@lizbrown.com. There was an article that came out of the LA Times, which seems particularly fitting as we look at this George Allen and his races. Unabashed racism, statement. As an article, Why They Hate Us. Julia Schwag said, takes the position that America is not simply hated because of the anger of Bush's foreign policies. No, it's a deeply entrenched antipathy accumulated over decades, and it may take generations to undo. Cold War legacy. How the United States intervened in Vietnam. How the United States had covert attempts to overthrow governments in Iran, Guatemala, and Cuba. Okay. Do Americans look at us, look at themselves as this is something that happened during the Cold War? No. As Gore Vidal said, it's the United States of amnesia. The United States of amnesia. One 877 920 WGNU. Let me get to a caller or two. Car phone.
Liz Brown.
Fella on the car phone.
I sit up here, and what you were just talking about is one of the things that always amazes me. You know, as I flash back in history, Allende comes to mind, and the CIA and how they murdered that man, and they put Pinochet in, who was a ruthless dictator.
Can we talk about Patrice Lumumba? Can we talk about Patrice Lumumba?
Let's talk about Marcos. Let's talk about the Shah of Iran. You know, and see, Americans have this little, their memories is only as far as the coast of this country.
United States of amnesia.
That's it. Exactly it, Liz. And then they wonder why the people don't like us. I went to school with the Iranians when I was at Chanute Air Force Base. Those guys treated me and my brother, they treated us good. You know, and I enjoyed them. They were intelligent people. They were good people. You know, and here I am going to listen to somebody like George Bush, who was basically a spoiled brat, alcoholic, cocaine user. And then you want to go around the world and try to tell everybody that we're better than them.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the Philippines dealing with the Filipinos, they were beautiful people. But the Americans were patting them on the head and treating them like little kids, washing their clothes for them. They were washing the Americans' clothes. As long as the countries are like that, America is happy with them. Let's don't go into Nicaragua and talk about Somoza, who basically took everything that the Americans gave him and warehoused it, and then divvied it out to his little cronies. We can go around the world and say this. So if y'all want to go out here and fight and kill people, I suggest you check your history and look at what America did to the Indians, the Native Americans, the black man, the yellow man. They need to think about some things, Liz, before they go around the world trying to kill people and call them ruthless and all of this. You better look at your history. Look at your cowboy.
Mm.
Have a good one, Liz.
All right. Listen, folks. This is Liz Brown. Gore Vidal said it. The United States of amnesia. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 70 after Mid Rivers, there's an accident that's been cleared. There may be some delays. Westbound 270 at West Florissant and 170. Traffic is slow in pockets Northbound 270 from Gravoy to 44, heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, look for heavy volume there as well. Westbound 270 in Illinois 203 and Canal Bridge, look for congestion been cleared. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and T.R. Hughes is slow traffic due to an earlier accident. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge is and into downtown, you can expect delays basically due to the fact that there's paving operations on the westbound side of the Poplar Street Bridge and left lane's closed. Traffic is jamming near 4th Street, and that means that the East Bridge and also the King Bridge are some delays are going on there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play pick three from the Illinois Lottery. Watch for the green ball double draw. One green ball, two chances to win. The Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s today. Mostly clear with a low around 60 this evening. Mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s tomorrow. And mostly sunny with a high near 90 on Thursday. Currently we have 66 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 66 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for Awaken to Yourself.
It's the show where you'll discover ways to take care of your body, experience your feelings,
relax your mind, embrace your dreams, and do what you love. If you're at work, listen online at WGNU.net.
You won't want to miss it.
Awaken to Yourself, Tuesdays at 11.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get up, get to me. Michelle.
Hi, Liz. As you might remember, I successfully predicted the president for the last two elections, and I wanted to tell you about in 08, it's going to be Senator Frist of Tennessee and possibly Condoleezza Rice. Now, I'm positive on Senator Frist. The people will not be fooled by the Democrats, but possibly with the Condoleezza Rice as vice president.
It'll be fascinating to see if America is still would accept the thievery of an administration and a party that it makes sense that to this party, George Bush has run this country on the issue of homeland security.
Uh-huh.
And it's fascinating that anybody could make it come out of their mouth that they could be in support of a man who runs on homeland security but yet shuts down the CIA unit dedicated to pursuing Osama bin Laden. That's madness.
Denial,
that's madness. What part of that is denial, Michelle? What part of
the
that
whole,
is denial?
Well,
so if you run, well, you know, anybody can steal. The mafia wins too, but that doesn't make it right. That doesn't make that the mafia kills and wins all the time. But that doesn't mean that you're supposed to embrace what the mafia stands for. George Bush stole some elections. Okay, you got it. You stole it. You're in office because of that.
Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he won.
No, he stole it.
Really? Who's in right now?
The person that stole it?
Whatever. Whatever you think.
That's all you got to say is whatever. You ask me a question, the guy who stole it is in office. I could go and shoot down a whole lot of people that are in opposition to me. I would be the last person standing. That wouldn't make it right. The dude that's running on security, homeland security, shut down the CIA unit dedicated to pursuing Osama bin Laden. And he has people like you out there saying, that doesn't matter to me. You can't judge him by that. What the huh? Huh? 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Eugene.
Yes. You know, Liz, I wouldn't be so quick to embrace some of these people from the Middle East because of the history of slavery. Iran and these type of countries, it's a good thing. You know, I think if you had a chance to live among some of these people to get a real good idea about...
So you're saying that George Bush is correct in his assessment of the Iranian people and Iranian intentions? You're saying the guy that told us that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, the guy that went in and brutalized and killed all tens of thousands of Iraqi people over something that was a lie and fixed intelligence, I'm supposed to believe that that same guy who is now pointing his finger at Iran, I'm supposed to believe him?
Well, I think if you talk about weapons of mass destruction,
mm-hmm.
I think if you ask the Iranians if Saddam Hussein had them and how he beat their advances back, I think you'll find that he killed over 50,000 people.
And George Bush has killed...
Without loud gas...
And George Bush has dropped dropped bombs on people, left all kinds of uranium waste, or depleted uranium there in Iraq. They invaded a country that did nothing to us. It was a preemptive strike. Eugene, you're not defending that, are you?
Well,
are you defending
let's take a look.
Answer that question, please. Just answer the question. Are you defending the act of a preemptive strike on a country that has done nothing to us? Are you defending that action?
I don't agree with the premise, nothing.
What? I don't understand that answer. Is that a yes or a no? Are you defending the action of George W. Bush to put this country into a place of preemptively striking a country that has done nothing to us?
I don't agree with that. Fact that they haven't done anything.
Huh? You don't agree with the So you are agreeing with the strike on Iraq?
Am I agreeing with?
Yes.
Well,
that's a simple question. Yes or no?
Let me say this.
No, answer the question first, and then you can say something else. Do you
agree with it?
That's insane. That's insane. That is absolutely insane.
When do I get a chance to say anything?
You've already said enough.
Well, you said I'd get a chance to say something afterwards.
You keep running your mouth about other stuff.
Okay, well, what about the
speaking?
First strike on that building, Liz? Do you agree with that? The first time they struck the World Trade Center?
Who did it?
Do you agree with that?
Who did that?
Terrorists.
Okay, who?
Terrorists like the PLO
who?
And these types of people.
Where do the PLO live, Eugene?
Well, the They lived in Iraq. Remember the first war where they sided with Saddam Hussein?
Where do the PLO live?
Remember that, or you got collective amnesia?
Where do the PLO live? Where are they from?
A lot of them were living in Iraq.
Where are they from,
they
Eugene?
They had terrorist camps.
Where are they from, Eugene? A PLO live in England, too. Where are they from?
But they were supported.
Where are they from? Where
England
are they from?
England wasn't giving them terrorist funds. Later.
Where are they from, Eugene? Please answer the question.
What do you mean, where are they from?
What word don't you understand in that question? They're all English words. What word don't you understand? Where are they from? PLO. What's the first word in P? What's a P stand for?
There's no country of Palestine.
Okay, got to go. 1-877-920-WGNU. Christine, good morning.
God. Oh, my goodness. It sounds like it's a mental intervention.
Aggressive ignorance, that's all.
I also lost my train of thought. I was getting, like, the hair standing up on the back of my neck. You were talking about earlier this morning about something that flip-flopping W, a.k.a. the war president, said about we beat the Palestinians, beat them back, and we can go beat them again. Just something that would infuriate the Palestinians if they heard that kind of talk. It's not a peaceful kind of conversation, but those are words from somebody called W, out of touch with reality. I think it was the president of North Korea. He was being nice because, first of all, I'd like to say there's nothing wrong with having a mental illness. It's just another part of the body that needs medical attention. But I don't believe that a person with a mental illness that is out of touch with reality should be running the so-called free world. Now, I have read and heard doctors on authority say some mental illnesses are hereditary. And we talk about, we think he's out of touch with reality, but his father had a mental illness the whole time he was in office, and he was on this heavy mind-altering drug called lithium the whole time he was in office. So maybe W does have a real mental illness.
I think that we've had the doctor on to diagnose George W. Bush, and he said that there are several illnesses that afflict him. ADD, paranoia, those things.
When you hear me say that, call him AKA the war president, if you want to see something and look and sound and see something sounding crazy, just watch that brilliant documentary, Fahrenheit 9/11 by Michael Moore, and you will hear those words coming out of W's mouth for yourself. He says, when he's in the Oval Office making decisions and policy, he hits himself at his own head and says, I have war on my mind.
Thanks for
now,
your call.
Now, don't believe me. You can hear it and see it for yourself.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Now, this is not, maybe this is an example of mental illness of George Bush. I do know it's just ugly mean. It is just really ugly mean. A couple days ago, Bush at a ceremony to close the old press room for renovation. Sam Donaldson was there with other reporters. Sam Donaldson with other reporters wanted to ask George Bush a series of questions. Sam Donaldson raised his hand, and this is what Bush said to him. Now, that's just nasty. Just nasty. Sam Donaldson raised his hand and Bush said, is that Sam Donaldson? Forget it. You're a has-been. We don't have to answer has-been's questions. That's a quote. Is that not just beyond the pale? Isn't that just ugly? Isn't that just mean? Why would you feel the need to say something like that? How could something like that come out your mouth? You want to know why there's no peace in the Middle East? Because you have a man like this in office. We don't have to answer questions from has-beens. You're a has-been. That's the stuff that bullies say on playgrounds. Not grown men sitting in the White House. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Tuesday in the 8:45 time slot.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy.
Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for Awaken to Yourself.
It's the show where you'll discover ways to take care of your body, experience your feelings,
relax your mind, embrace your dreams, and do what you love. If you're at work, listen online at WGNU.net.
You won't want to miss it.
Awaken to Yourself, Tuesdays at 11.
The information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Of Africans chained to the slave ships, for the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip, for the millions who jumped overboard, for the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe. And each ripple in the ocean is a grave for an African who refused to be a
Welcome slave. Back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Willie, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown. I respect you, and I hope you just keep on teaching. I was listening to him when I tuned you in perhaps about a half hour ago, and I woke up. I think you had two black people defending George Bush. I can understand. I really believe and I hope that I am right that at least maybe by now 60% of white people know that George Bush helped mess this country up.
But if the statistics bear true in terms of assessing people of African descent's assessment about this administration, this war, people of African descent have got it. We're talking about in the 80s and 90s. You also look at the numbers of people of African descent that have decided to join this war effort. The numbers are down historically. People of African descent, statistically, get it. There's always a glitch.
I just don't need to hear a black person talk about terrorists of another country when his biggest problem, my biggest problem, and I live pretty damn good, but my biggest problem right here in America is George Bush. So it ain't Osama bin Laden or people of that intent. We need to help us here. We are running into a big problem. I knew 20 years ago when we allowed a lot of immigrants to come into this country and do jobs, what they said that we don't want to do. What can I do with a $4.50 an hour job? They'll tell you to get a good education and what have you, in which I thank God that my children did and what have you, and that they're doing all right. But I'm looking at too many people who are not doing good just in a fact,
Well, Willie, the issue is that there are so many if we're going to have a discussion about why people are not doing well in the United States, why mortgage sales are down, or why it's so difficult for people to find a job, why it's so difficult for people to go to college, there was recently a couple of, I think it was last week, that an association affiliated with medical students have put out an alert because this administration, because they can't get into medical school, because they can't afford to get into medical school, because this administration is pushing for a law that pushes medical students to have to get private loans at market rates in order to go to med school.
Oh,
so
God,
you look
yeah.
at the laws that are being passed and the issues that are being embraced, and also we cannot forget the billions and billions of dollars that we're paying every day for this war on terror. We don't have the money to fight a war like this and to do the things that we need to do to live right in this country.
That
and we're suffering the result of it.
That is exactly what I'm talking about. The whole nine yards that our biggest fight, America, white, black, your biggest fight is right here at home. And yet we are allowing people like George Bush to say, we're going to take it abroad. We're going to fight it with it here. Your biggest fight, America, is right here in the United States. You were making it harder and harder for educated kids. If they decide to go and get a good education, to what have you, they fight is still hard because of what America is doing. And George Bush, my last with George Bush ain't no good for America.
Thanks for your call.
Liv, you have a good day. Bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. Jeff.
Liz.
Yes.
I had a comment or reaction to what you said about that press conference.
Uh-huh.
I saw that little clip.
Did you see the clip?
I saw the clip as well, and it was interesting to me because I had the same reaction you had.
Can I let me repeat it for some people that may have just joined us, Jeff?
Yes.
Bush was at a ceremony to close the old press room for renovation, and there were a bunch of reporters there that wanted to ask him some questions, and Sam Donaldson was one of the reporters. And when Bush saw Sam Donaldson, this is what he said, and I quote, "Is that Sam Donaldson? Forget it. You're a has-been. We don't have to answer has-been's questions."
Right, that's the exact comment, and my reaction was, wow. And the reporter turned it into a more or less a playful moment that Bush was having with the press.
You mean the person that was bringing the story to you, or not? Certainly not Sam Donaldson.
No, not Sam Donaldson. It was whoever
I
don't remember who the reporter was.
Gotcha.
It was on the nightly news,
mm-hmm.
you know, the international news. And I had the exact same reaction, you know, and they played it off as, oh, his sense of humor, and he's just having a funny moment. But, you know, it's that kind of juvenile kind of humor.
But, Jeff, juvenile humor involves the butt. Juvenile humor involves body waste. That's juvenile humor. This is mean stuff. This is mean and ugly stuff.
And the sad thing about it was Donaldson didn't get a chance to ask his question.
Wow! Wow!
So it kind of it.
Oh, he meant that. He meant that.
He meant it. Yeah,
yes, he did.
Absolutely.
He meant that. Wow! And
the way
I get,
it was the media played it off as though it was just a jokey kind of thing.
And you know what, I think that was an anticipatory type of assault. Get the story out there that it's a joke before it's able to get hold in the American psyche of how mean this man is.
Right, because that's been more than a couple of weeks ago, and I guess it hasn't really circulated.
My dad,
I remember,
when I
heard it, I had this visceral effect. Man, that was a mean thing he said.
And I got it from my dad. My dad sent me a copy of the statement. I have not seen it. I'm only reading it right now. And Jeff, it is just such an ugly, mean,
yeah.
revealing
it was
statement
mean.
About it. A revealing
he meant
statement.
It.
Yes,
he
did.
Meant it.
Yes,
but
he did.
It was couched in this really funny. Oh, I'm just, you know. And if anyone had questioned him, he would say, oh, you know, can't you take a joke? I was just having fun.
But it's like
that kind of thing.
But, Jeff, as a woman of African descent, people, I have been in places where racists have made joke. They've called them jokes. And when you respond to them in the way that you are supposed to respond to that kind of racism, they too always say, I was just kidding. I
yes.
was just joking. Abusers engage in that behavior all the time. They call an abusive husband calls their wife mean, ugly names. I was just joking. You can't take a joke.
Yeah,
that's on
right.
you. That's what this is. This is the school that this is in.
You're absolutely right, and that's the exact reaction I had. And it was interesting how the media. If you get a clip with the content of the media's reaction to it or how they reported it, they give it a whole different spin.
And one of the things that we've had the doctor on to assess George Bush, the author of the book about Bush on the couch, and one of the things that he did comment on is that this comment about Sam Donaldson is not unlike many other comments that he has made, but when you look at the psychological, what this reveals psychologically about Bush and about the press, it shows how the press is also cowed under this because one of the reasons that some of them don't ask hard questions because they don't want this type of crappy thing to be said at them.
Right, exactly. And I he's a complete embarrassment, but I've never known any president, and I've been, I'm close to 50 years old, and I've never known a president to react and respond to things the way he does.
You're
absolutely right. The media and they all kind of cover up for him. It's all the enabling behavior of a sick person.
And there's
everybody's around him, just kind of supporting him.
And also they respond like a battered wife. They respond like a battered wife. Thanks for your call, Jeff.
Thanks, Liz.
All right, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Anita.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I want to make a comment in regards to the man who made a comment in favor of the war, that I asked him to do two things, and not only him, many of our mosques and especially our churches, to take a look at the documentary titled Loose Change. For them to actually seek out and get a copy of that, and also to go on to the internet and get a copy of the bioterrorism in America, eugenics. Look at eugenics, and we won't have to fight each other. We'll come into agreement that we are not right in this effort. They don't.
And one of the things that we can do is that at the Urban Institute, we showed the movie Loose Change. We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who came out to see that film. Also, we will be able to, the people will be able to come to the Urban Institute on Saturday. We'll have about 50 copies of Loose Change for you. So you can come on out at 1020 North Taylor at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. We'll have some copies to give out there as well.
Yes,
ma'am. All right, and you're absolutely right. If someone is willing to learn, now sometimes people have such aggressive ignorance that they are not interested in learning, but you have directed them to a very good piece of information if a person is willing to learn.
We need to. Even for the few that don't want to learn, there are many who do and are confused.
All right.
And for those who are confused, please do this so we know that we're on the right track.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Coming to the end of the hour, but that's all right. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and run back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
The progress is healing the wound. That's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albino. It's been more than 24 hours since the UN brokered ceasefire to end the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah fighters took effect, and now both sides are beginning to pull away from the border.
Showing increasing confidence in the ceasefire, Israeli military authorities say they are ready to start turning over positions they captured in South Lebanon to a United Nations force starting tomorrow, and they hope to be gone, completely gone, from South Lebanon by next week. To coordinate that complex move, Israeli, United Nations, and Lebanese generals are meeting regularly at the border.
ABC's Vic Ratner in northern Israel now. There is still sporadic fighting along the border. Israeli soldiers shot five Hezbollah gunmen in two separate confrontations in southern Lebanon today. Dell is recalling more than 4 million laptop computer batteries. The company says they can overheat, catch fire, and even explode. More from ABC News consumer correspondent Elizabeth Lehman.
A former Dell employee, Robert Day, who quit after an unrelated dispute with the company, says he saw many more melted laptops at company headquarters than Dell has acknowledged, although he doesn't know if they were caused by battery problems.
Basically, I saw an increase of product coming in from the field for safety issues. But some of the laptops that I saw did have some battery damage, did have some thermal damage as far as melting.
Dell says the incidents shown in those photos are very rare and that the safety of its customers is a top priority.
That's ABC's Elizabeth Leamy. And just to let you know, the recall affects Latitude, Inspire, and XTS and Precision notebooks that were made by Dell from April 2004 through July of 2006. Just a small increase for wholesale inflation, up by a tenth of a percent. In fact, falling food prices help to offset the high energy costs. ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is up 74 points in early going. The NASDAQ is also ahead by 22 points. This is ABC News.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Into Office Depot today for incredible deals on great tools to start school. Now at Office Depot, two pocket paper portfolios are 10 for a dollar, and one subject wire-bound notebooks are just 6 for 60 cents. And for all your qualified school supply purchases, Office Depot will give 5% back in credits to your child's school. So hurry into Office Depot for great back-to-school deals. See store for details. While supplies last, quantities limited.
It's an interesting, although not exactly flattering, look at the minds of Americans. ABC's Karen Chase explains.
It's a disturbing snapshot of Americans' priorities.
Hello.
The poll found more Americans were familiar with the names of the Three Stooges, Larry, Curly, and Moe, than the three branches of government, judicial, executive, and legislative. More people could name Homer Simpson's son Bart than could name the original Homer's epic poems, the Iliad and the Odyssey. And only one out of four could name two of the Supreme Court justices. Three out of four could name two of the seven dwarves. Karen Chase, ABC News.
You're divorced and you can't see your kids as often as you'd like. Maybe you've moved, so why not plan a virtual visit? Many ex-spouses are amending their custody agreements to include time spent via computer over a webcam. The benefit? More talking with mom or dad. The downside, the experts say some parents may use virtual visits to replace all physical ones. Daria Albing, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour.
In the news this Tuesday, family and friends are remembering a pregnant Jefferson County woman. A memorial service last night marked the first anniversary of the disappearance of Amanda Jones. Hubert Propst, Amanda's father, says he believes that Brian Lee Westfall is responsible for his daughter's disappearance. Westfall is the father of Jones' unborn child, according to family members, and the last one to have seen her alive. Investigators say Westfall is still considered a person of interest. Anyone with information on Jones' disappearance is urged to call the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department at 636-797-5515. Those big yellow buses take to the streets this week as many area students return to school. St. Louis County Police will be rigorously enforcing school bus stop arm and speed zone rules as part of their back-to-school enforcement program. Officer Scott Roach reminds drivers to watch out for the kids.
Just be aware of your surroundings and travel slowly through your neighborhood.
St. Louis County Police will step up patrols near schools and bus stops. They ask that all children carry identification and emergency contact information. Finally this hour, the first-place Cardinals and second-place Reds are separated by just a game and a half in the National League Central. Those two teams get together at 7:10 this evening in the first of a three-game set at Busch Stadium. The Cards send their ace to the hill in Chris Carpenter. He is 10-6 with a 3.27 ERA on the season, including an 0-2 mark against Cincinnati. The Reds counter with right-hander Aaron Harang, who is 12-7 with an ERA of 3.66. The Cardinals have dropped 8 of 12 meetings with the Reds this season. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play Pick 3 from the Illinois Lottery. Watch for green ball double draw. One green ball, two chances to win. Illinois Lottery. Have a ball. Play responsibly. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee. Southbound 270 at Olive, there's an incident that's been cleared, but there may be some delays. Southbound 55 at Richardson, there's a vehicle on fire. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and McKnight, that traffic's easing up this hour. Westbound 5570 on the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got paving operations, left lane's closed. Traffic slowing near 4th Street. That's your major construction dilemma. However, there are a number of areas around the St. Louis City, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, and Metro East area. So just use caution as you roll through those work zones. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee. McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee is now bolder, smoother, and robust. It's made just the way you like it. Drive through today and taste it for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s today. Mostly clear with a low around 60 this evening. Mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s on Wednesday. And mostly sunny, high around 90 on Thursday. Currently we have 70 degrees. Lambert Field has 71. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz. I want to mention something to you. You know, France has already been under the nuclear power over there for years and years and years. That's all they run their country on. You know that?
I don't know that. But let's say that you're correct. What is your point?
My point is, it's always, you know, we're not supposed to do anything according to them, but they can have nuclear power, but we can't.
What are you talking about?
The nuclear appliance. That man didn't want to build any more nuclear plants over here. But I'm going to tell you something I found out last night. I don't know how true this is, and I'm going to investigate it because I'm interested in investing in it. There's a new product out that we can run our homes on water. We can get all our heat and everything else on water, from water.
Okay, but there's an article in the Wall Street Journal today, an article about how people are turning to the very thing that my guest talked about this morning, is wind power. Wind power can cut your electricity anywhere from 15% to 90% by putting up those little wind mills. Have you seen the one that's on 44 or on 40? That's at 40 and Page. There's a business right there that has three of those windmills there.
We don't even need that, ma'am.
Why don't we need that?
We won't need it.
Why?
These other products are much better than that.
Based on what?
Well, you know, the thing is.
Based on what?
Well, did you know that last time they were putting some of these up, the people on the environment, they didn't want them up because they said it killed a lot of birds?
Well, of course you have to. Any time that you do anything, you have to measure it in terms of the balance and the impact on parts of the world that we live in. There are migratory patterns that birds fly in. So you should not put windmills that in those migratory
patterns. If you know another product that you can run in here.
Or
5 gallons of water a month.
Or why can't you just move the wind mills to a place where it doesn't impact negatively on the migratory patterns of birds? You don't say throw the baby out with the bathwater because there is one challenge to it. You don't put a gasoline station in the basement of homes because it's dangerous. But because you can't put it there, you don't say, let's not use gasoline. Come on, let's be logical about this. Windmills, all you got to do is open up the Wall Street Journal. All you have to do is open up the Wall Street Journal. There's an article in there today about how successful, how useful, how practical windmills are as an alternative, clean form of energy. Why would we turn away from that?
We won't have to use that, ma'am.
Okay, gotcha.
This is much better. Gotcha.
1-877-920-WGNU. Using one doesn't preclude the use of another. 1-877-920-WGNU. Donald.
Yes, ma'am. How is my sister?
I'm very good.
That's good. I wanted to address the gentleman that called in and made a statement that Palestine did not exist,
mm-hmm.
if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
If he does some research, he'll find the word Palestine mentioned in Exodus chapter 15, verse 14, as in his Bible. And that goes back something like 4,000 years, which was the time, supposedly, of Moses. And this just goes to show you how misinformed we are as we take philosophical ideas and act on them as if they're the gospel truth.
Does New York exist?
Yes.
Well, why? If Palestine doesn't exist, then how does New York exist?
Well, he seemed like he was just...
I'm just asking the question. I'm just trying to follow the logic of that, to follow down the natural logical path. If something doesn't exist because it's not asked for, and from his perspective, it's not mentioned in the Bible, then neither does New York. Neither does the United States. Neither does it a whole lot of places. France, Great Britain.
Right.
So, you know, it's just foolishness.
This information is just erroneous, and it really is based upon some philosophical ideas. And apparently he's been listening to people who've been flooding the area with language like that. But Palestine does exist, and it's in the Bible, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 14.
It exists because they say it exists.
And it's also existing on a contemporary level of today.
It exists because
of geographical research.
It exists because they say it exists.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that New York City exists because you say that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
And people
go
live there
and see it physically with your physical eyes.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks.
We are just some poorly informed people.
There's no we in that. Some folks are. I'm not. I know you're not.
No, that's just a euphemism.
All right. But let's be clear. Some folks are aggressively ignorant.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
You definitely sure have to make it clear.
All right now.
Okay.
Thank you, Donna. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I'm going to get back at you after this. Stay with me.
This is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
A few gray hairs or wrinkles around the eyes might bother some people, but not me. I couldn't be happier. You see, 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, a kind of cancer. I wasn't sure I'd be around for my next birthday, let alone live to see the signs of aging some folks fret about. All I could think about was that I'd be missing the big events in the lives of my three daughters. Graduations, weddings, grandchildren. As I cried myself to sleep, I knew I was in the fight of my life. But I got help and hope from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Thanks in part to the life-saving research they fund, survival rates for lymphoma and other blood cancers have increased dramatically. So far, I'm beating this thing. My cancer's in remission. Who knows what the future holds? But if living longer means more gray hairs and wrinkles, I'll take them. To find out how you can help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Kathleen Magdy Brown, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We need to talk. I've gotten all kinds of stuff from folks. I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people out there. I don't believe that our good government landed on the moon. I don't. I believe it was a fraud. That's it. That's what I believe. And I'm looking at just a little tiny factoid story out of USA Today. Just a little tiny factoid story out of the paper today. NASA said, now, for all of you that are with me on this, I know exactly what you're going to be feeling when I share this little factoid, this little tiny story that may not reach your attention. It's a little, 15-line story. NASA said it has misplaced the original recording of the first moon landing, including the astronauts Neil Armstrong's famous line, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Armstrong's stroll on the moon, seen by millions of viewers on July 20th, 1969, is amongst the transmission that NASA has failed to turn up in a year of a searching. Yep, in the modern day of ability to be able to figure out if something is real or not, y'all can't find the tape. 700 boxes of transmissions from the lunar missions are missing. NASA has retained copies of the television broadcast, and they offer clips on its website, but they are of lower quality. And the material was supposed to have been held in the National Archives, but was returned to NASA in the late 70s. Who's right, who's wrong? Let me get this straight. 700 boxes of transmissions that could verify whether that there was conversation from the moon to America, they're missing. And the original recording of the moon's first landing is missing too. How could that be missing? How could that be missing? Come on. How do you misplace something like that? I've misplaced a lot of things in my life. I really have. But I have never misplaced something of such historical proportions. Capricorn 1? Capricorn 1? Do you believe this? NASA misplaced. I would even understand if the National Archives misplaced the tape. I could even find an explanation, articulate an explanation for the National Archives, but how could NASA misplace the very thing for its existence? Come on. NASA said, we lost it. Dude, I don't know where it is. Dude, I thought Joe had it. They have misplaced the original recording of the first moon landing along with 700 boxes of transmission from lunar missions. Ain't that some stuff? No, I don't believe that we landed there. No. And now I really don't believe we landed there. How does NASA misplace that? They think we stupid. Misplaced, my great aunt. Tyrone.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
It was funny, I'm listening to you talking about this NASA misplacing the 700 boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I never really researched anything on that or never really heard about it, but one of my friends that I talked to, he told me about this movie called Capricorn 1.
Capricorn 1.
You familiar with it?
I just mentioned that I have not seen it. I am not familiar with it.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't watched it all the way through, but it's pretty good. I mean, it starts because O.J. Simpson played in it. And, yeah. And so, you know, they just had it in there where, you know, they had this look like a Hollywood studio where they had the astronauts
mm-hmm.
playing like they were on the moon. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the end of the day when they got to making the films, they was going to, you know, they was going to play like they destroyed the plane. So O.J. and two other people, the astronauts, tried to take off running. I didn't finish watching it, but I just never got around to watching it.
There are books out there as well. There are people that have done documentaries on this. There are websites out there. Because it comes down to trust. It really does. It comes down to, because I've never been to the moon. You've never been to the moon. Most of God's children have not been to the moon. So we have to trust and believe our government of saying that this is where these people were. And to me, it's like, well, why haven't we, if we were able to get there back in 1969, why haven't we been back since?
Right.
Technology is a lot better today than it was back in 1969, right?
Right.
All right now.
But you know, we talking about the government. So, I mean, there's very little that you can trust the government with. If
there are some things I can verify, though. There are some things that I can verify. I can verify whether or not there's satellites in the air because I can see them. There's, I mean, I don't have to trust my government and say, trust me, there's satellites up there. No, I can confirm. I can verify. So I don't believe this. There's nothing that they can tell me. They can tell me this rock is from the moon. How would you know that? How would you know that? You got to be able to verify. Thanks for your call.
Thank
you. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Al.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You just took the words right out of my mouth. You know, even when I was a child, you know, I was born in 1969, mm-hmm. and, you know, elementary school and, you know, seeing them land on the moon and all that kind of stuff, you know, as my years went on, I started just using my common sense, like, well, why haven't we ever went back to the moon?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have space stations on the moon? You know, why are they building it in outer space? You know, why not build it on some ground? They've never been there. They've never been.
Look, NASA said they lost the original recording of the first moon landing. No, you didn't.
That's insane, like losing John Kennedy's brain. How do you lose the president's brain? He was just assassinated. It's the same thing.
It is. And remember, this is NASA. This is the place that who else but that should be in some kind of golden safe somewhere.
That's right.
That should be in a room that is locked up, that is air conditioned, that you have to have 15 passwords to get to.
That's
original
right.
How do you lose that?
And just like you were saying, you know, you can look up in the sky at night and on a good night see the satellites flying all around.
With a good telescope, you can see it every night.
You know, but we ain't seeing nobody landing back on the moon. Hey, even no Russians, no other country has landed on the moon.
How could that be?
You know,
nobody but us.
You know, the Russians got nuclear missiles just like we have. We take turns stealing each other's secrets between China, America, and Russia. They would have landed on the moon, too.
Somebody would have landed. We would have been back.
We'd have been back.
We would have had condos or at least billboards up there by now.
You know, they're trying to, you know, don't like being around a lot of us know-how.
Well, so,
George Bush definitely would have had
somebody
big old house on the moon.
Somebody would have had something on the moon by now. It's been over 30 years.
You are exactly right.
All right.
I just wanted to call and share that with you.
All right. Thank
you. All right. Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. How does one lose 700 boxes of anything? What kind of keystone cop operation would you have to run? And shouldn't you be defunded? If you lost, you know what? That is a reason to shut them all down. That is the reason to shut NASA down. You lost the doggone tape that is the original recording of the moon's first landing. You know what? No. No. No, I don't believe you. And you know what? Double no, I don't believe you. Absolutely not. I don't believe you've been to the moon. You lost the tape. You lost the original tape. Shut up. No, I don't believe you. And 700 other boxes that would verify this stuff. See, what happened is that in 1970, when the National Archives handed over that stuff to NASA, there was a reason why they handed it off to NASA, because the world was never supposed to get a copy of this stuff and examine it. That's why. That's why. Mike,
you telling me that the moon thing was done on a sound stage?
I'm not telling you anything about the specifics of how it happened. I'm saying I don't believe it. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I have to disagree with you, Liz.
Why do you believe it?
When I was a kid, back in 1969, when it was broadcast all over the world.
You saw it on television.
Yeah.
And you believe it.
Yes, I do.
Okay, and so that's your evidence, is I saw it on television, right? You understand my dilemma? You're the evidence that you're giving to me as proof of something happened is that you saw it on television. You got anything else? I mean, you feel me? You got anything
yeah.
else?
Yeah. Well, yeah, what the whole world saw it on TV.
And the whole world sees a whole lot of stuff on TV. You got anything else besides we saw it on television?
It's possible that when we had the space race back in that time, and it's possible that it, you know,
what did you see that makes you believe that it happened?
We never, you know, like you said, we never went back.
So then that, to me, that proves we never went.
Okay. All right, Lynn.
I'm just asking you to just use your logical mind. What evidence do I have that this happened? I saw it on television. That makes you laugh out loud, doesn't it?
Yeah.
that makes you laugh. That makes, and technology is a whole lot better today than it was in 1969. Why haven't we been back if we did it in 1969? Everything that we were doing in 1969, we are doing it a million times better than we did it then.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay. I say it. I saw it on television. Makes you laugh out loud because you know that's not good enough.
Yeah.
All right now. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back.
Every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
The Citizens Commission on Human Rights of St. Louis Incorporated presents the Electric Shock Radio Hour, a call and talk radio show airing on WGNU AM 920, on the net at WGNU.net, Wednesday nights starting at 7 p.m., hosted by Roger Teagarden, Executive Director of the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, St. Louis, Missouri. It is a timely and lively discussion of the scourge of modern civilization, psychiatry.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Take the power back. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. Is the moon landing, was the moon landing fake? In the photographs and of the lunar sky, why are there no stars visible? Why are there no stars visible? Bob.
Hello, Liz.
Good morning.
Thanks for your information. I was going to question the mentality of a college student that would stick cherry bombs up the rectum of frogs and blow them up. But I think people understand that our president did that when he was in school. But the conspiracy theories he brought to my attention, the one that I continue to tell people, that Hinckley did not shoot Ronald Reagan. And the evidence for that, or what I present as evidence, is that there were four shots fired, and if you count the number of people hit, and there was never a picture of the president being shot. They showed people on television and other things with the president holding his hand up, and that's when people think he was shot, because that's when the sound is played for him. But we've never seen, and there was no bullet found, and they said that now there was no investigation, and Hinckley was never charged with shooting the president. I don't know if people know that or not, but he was not charged.
Okay.
And what the Reader's Digest came out with last year, the story that the president was shot after he was pushed into the car, and that the bullet glanced off the side of the open door and hit the president when he was on the floor where he had been pushed, which means there are only three people in that case that could have known that the president was shot. Only three, not all of those millions that say they saw it on television, because it was not on television, and I do not believe Hinckley shot the president, or we would have seen him being shot like we have Kennedy time and time and time again.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. Matt.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Liz. Matt Hawkins. Reason for my call is you were talking about the moon landing and television as evidence.
Well, I started with the article that's in USA Today saying that NASA said it had misplaced the original recording of the moon's first landing along with 700 boxes of transmissions from lunar missions.
Oh, yeah.
I do not believe that they landed on the moon.
Well, they probably would never have lost it if freedom of information hadn't gotten passed, because, you know, people probably wouldn't have been able to ask for it.
Well, actually, what happened is that it was removed from the National Archives and then to NASA.
And why? Nobody said why? No?
No.
Okay. Well, that's usually how it's done. Don't tell nobody why, just tell them what you do.
All right.
But I just want to say thank you for your show. You really inspire me to get after it. I've called in one other time, and just a wonderful show. Keep asking the tough questions.
All right. Thanks for your call.
All right.
Take care, Matt. Listen, folks, don't forget that the Urban Institute meets on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor. That's the address. Come on down. We're going to have about 50 copies of the movie A Loose Change to give away at the meeting on Saturday. So be there at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. We're changing the political environment of the city of St. Louis, the Urban Institute. That's what we're doing. Be there Saturday from 9 to 11. My name is Liz Brown. Let me get to some more of you all on this issue. You're on the wake-up call.
Oh, Liz Brown?
Yes.
I was curious about something about the moon landing.
Yes.
With the gravity of the moon being less, I was curious how the Armstrong could walk on the moon and kick the moon dust,
mm-hmm.
and it just falls right back down.
It doesn't make sense to me. Why was the flag waving in the? Is there air on the moon?
The flag they claim was preset like that. It was just more like a postcard.
Blah blah blah
I was wondering how he could walk on and kick the moon dust up, and all it did was just come straight back down.
Mm-hmm.
But I always thought that if the moon being less, gravity being less, that the motion of Armstrong would have kicked the dust and it would have just flown
completely
up into the sky.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why is there no moon dust on the lander's the machine's leg? Okay, if the dust was deep enough to leave deep footprints, because we all saw the footprints on TV, right?
Yeah.
Then why didn't the thruster from the machine that took them to the moon, why didn't it leave a big old hole? If the footprints left 6-inch deep holes in the dust, why wasn't there a huge hole from where the thruster was? I'm just asking.
Okay.
I'm just asking. 1-877-920-WGNU. Charles.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You covered the points that I was going to cover. I always found it funny that if the moon is airless, how could the flag be blown in a breeze? That always kind of struck me as funny.
Summer breeze, maybe.
Yeah. I want to ask you about you've done a lot of traveling and been a lot of places. Well, every time I've seen Fidel Castro, he's always surrounded by people who are all shades of colors, but the people in Little Havana always are more like white people. Could you think that'd be a reason why he's so despised in this country?
I think that a lot of the folks that you see supporting or demanding the assassination or the elimination or the death or the ending of Fidel Castro's life, they don't look a lot like the whole lot of the dark Cubans that you see playing baseball.
No, and I keep thinking about how when the Haitians arrive on these shores, how they're turned back and sent back out into the ocean to drown.
All right, thanks for your call.
Okay.
1-877-920-WGNU. Dolores.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Some years ago, and I don't know if I told you this, I was working as a lab assistant, and that year they were sending the ship up. And I got fired because what happened was all these people were sitting in the room looking at the spaceship going up, and the girl asked me, she said, "Oh, Dolores, aren't you going to look at this is a momentous occasion looking?" I said, "No, I have no interest in it, and I don't believe we up there anyway." Do you know I got fired because of that? Dr. Hagenbush said, "Oh, we get a lot of our specimens for the government. We can't have that kind of talk around here."
Mm-hmm.
But what I read up on going to the moon, what a lot of people ought to be aware of, when you leave this Earth atmosphere, you are no longer in gravity. So think about, once they leave this Earth atmosphere, Liz, how is it that they get there so quick? Because you float once you leave this Earth's atmosphere. And D.C. Carey, he's a comedian, he made a good point. He said, "Who in the world is up there taking these pictures outside of people walking on the moon? And how are they staying stable?" You know,
all right.
But if you read up on the going to the moon, the daytime you can't be there during the day because it's too hot. At night they said it's just too cold. So how in the world did they go to the moon?
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz, hi, this is Earlene.
Yes.
You just will not let me get any work done, will you? You keep making me go back. Look, for those people who are my age and over, upper 50s, I remember the day Sputnik landed. This is the whole historical thing. Sputnik went up on October 4th, 1957. I was a kid at Emerson School. They brought the TVs out on the carts. We came out in the hall and sat and watched Sputnik go up. That's when, after that, when John Kennedy got in office, we were told we had to beat the Russians, because at that time the Russians were beating us as far as physical capabilities. That's when PE, or physical education, was trumped up. We used to have to then run so many laps in a certain amount of time. We had so many push-ups we had to do. The whole idea was we had to beat the Russians, okay? John Kennedy, you know, the charismatic, you know, president from Camelot, had told this country, "We will put a man on the moon by such and such a time."
That's exactly
just
right.
Just like now. Then it was the Russians we had to beat. Now it's the terrorists. This whole thing was a grand ploy because we had to be better than the Russians. And as you say, and I hadn't heard about the stuff being lost, but it makes sense. We've got technology now where you can take a phone and videotape and do all kinds of things. So with that kind of technology, how easy would it be to get these films, pictures, and what have you, and dissect them?
People talking about, this administration is talking about whether the photographs of Castro are Photoshop photos. The better question is that let's look at the photographs of landing on the moon to see if those are Photoshopped.
Right.
And 1969 style.
Capricorn 1 a number of times. The premise behind Capricorn 1 was the astronauts, O.J. Simpson, James Brolin, and I forget the third, they were not aware. They really thought they were getting shot up into space. They get on the ship only to discover, well, we've got a problem. So they're told, well, look, we can't disappoint the country because everybody thinks we're going to the moon. So they then take these three astronauts to a sound stage geared to look like the moon. They don't really want to go along with it, but then it's kind of like, well, how can we not disappoint the country and our families? The idea was then after they shot this so-called landing, they were going to kill the astronauts, send the ship up, and then bring it down and say that it crash-landed and all these heroes died. They got wind of it. They escaped. And, of course, you know, the brother O.J. was one of the first ones to die. During a telephone call back to his wife, supposedly from the space station, James Brolin's character said something like, I can't wait to get back so we can go on vacation. And the place that he named and the way he said it after his wife thought about it, she knew that place didn't exist. So that was the key. We're in a place that doesn't exist.
All right.
And the other two astronauts died. James Brolin's character at the very end of the movie when they're having their memorial service, he comes walking up in his spacesuit from out of the desert.
All right. Thanks for your call. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Tuesday in the 9:45 time slot.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Cooper. Stay tuned for my show, Floral Design Inside and Out, coming up next on WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. Malik.
Yeah, how you doing this morning, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You know, it pays to study. And I've done a study on the moon for pretty near 40 years. And if you know anything about the moon, it's really a satellite between the sun and this Earth. It's approximately 250,000 miles at its closest to the Earth. And it holds the tide in check. All water is held in check by the moon, tide and everything. They go out by it. Number two, the moon is actually waterless. And the gravity with a waterless moon with the sun facing it would suck the water out of the astronaut's eyes. More gravity is there and pulling than anywhere else. So they couldn't have possibly landed on the moon.
All right.
All right, have a good day, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. Ben.
Yeah. Liz.
Yes.
I got a question. I want to know how they landed on the moon. How did they get through the Van Allen belt, which is a radioactive belt that was running around the atmosphere of the moon? They couldn't get through there. It's a radioactive belt around the moon. How did they get through and back out of it?
All I'm asking is I don't have an answer for that. I can't even engage in a discussion with you about that because I don't know anything about that. But this much I do know. I do know that there are things that could be done that would be able to give me the ability to verify that they've been to the moon. And nothing that they have done proves to me, provides information to me that I can verify. Thanks, yeah. Ben.
Yeah, my grandmother told me that years ago that they didn't go on the moon. So I started studying and trying to find out what she talked about. But then I found out what she was talking about is it was the Van Allen belt she was talking about. It's a radioactive belt, and it can penetrate it.
Thanks for your call, Ben. 1-877-920-WGNU. Roz.
Liz, I don't believe the astronauts walked on the moon no more than they brought back moon rocks. You know what I'm saying? Because, Liz, here it is. Now, I was a child, too. I'm 51, okay? I was a kid in grade school, too. And I can remember that our teachers had us all sitting out in the hallways looking at television, talking about we're going to have the first man on the moon. I didn't want to hear it as a child. And you know what I'm saying? Because I never could believe that it was true. Now, then they came with the space movie with Dr. Spock and all of that. You know what I'm saying? Back in the 60s and the 70s, I never believed for 1 minute, even as a child, that they walked in space, because it just was not enough evidence for me, even as a child.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. The conversation that we're having at this point of the show is really based upon an article that is in USA Today. The article, little teeny tiny column, paragraph of a story, that NASA says that it has misplaced the original recording of the first moon landing, including astronaut Neil Armstrong's famous line, "One small step for man, one giant step for mankind." And how do you lose something like this? How do you lose something like this? And this is anecdotal, and it doesn't prove anything, but it's rather, and to me, it's rather amusing. And I'm not a psychiatrist, but I think that there is some legitimate question to be raised to the response of this. John Glenn, right? John Glenn was one of the first men on the moon. Is that right? Howard, he went on the moon. John Glenn was on the moon. He was an astronaut, landed on the moon. And he went on, John Glenn went on to become a United States Senator. And he's got to be in his 80s, 70s, 80s now. I think he's in his 80s. Well, this is not funny, but yes, it is. There's a guy that periodically pops up at events that John Glenn attends. And this guy's sole purpose in life is to tell John Glenn that you a liar, you never landed on the moon. This guy periodically pops up wherever John Glenn is appearing. Well, John Glenn, the 80-year-old former astronaut who landed on the moon, clocked this guy. And to me, what are you mad at? What are you mad at? As my parents would say when I was acting in a guilty way, why are you so defensive? Why are you so defensive about this? John Glenn went out of his way to clock this guy who said, "You never landed on the moon." Why can't you just laugh something like that off? If you went. 1-877-920-WGNU. Coco.
Liz,
yes.
What's interesting to me is that you brought this subject up. You know, I never did believe that they went to the moon. You know, I used to look at the Tang commercials that they advertised at the time.
God, I haven't heard the word Tang in years.
They look more for real than the actual trip.
Okay.
You know, it's really interesting, some of these comments.
Really, really.
Today.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thanks, Coco. You too. 1-877-920-WGNU. Herbert.
Oh, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
All right. I'm going to tell you exactly where them transmission tapes are at and the pictures of Armstrong.
Where?
At MGM and Warner Brothers.
Where they were made. That's what it was. Somebody just thought, we got these from Hollywood. We got to return them to Hollywood. I got it.
All right, sir.
All right. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, I just caught on the show. I don't know if nobody mentioned this about the moon theory. Did they show that picture of the flag blowing on the moon when they put the flag down when they supposed to have went up there?
Mm-hmm. And how is there air
how
on the moon?
How can a flag blow if that's... If there's no gravity.
And there's no air.
And no air.
Because if there's air,
so
why they have their helmets
on? You don't have to lie, but it's the truth, right?
All they had to do was take their helmets off if there's that kind of wind blowing.
Yeah, chill on out. Up there. Put some lawn chairs out.
That's right.
All
that's
right. Right. I'll see you, sir.
All right. Take care. At the Urban Institute at 1020 North Taylor. That's at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. We're going to have that tape. Loose Change. We'll have about 50 copies or so to give out to folks. 1-877-920-WGNU. Ike.
Yeah, I know where that is. Those real moon pictures, there were President Bush's W-2 forms and all other stuff at the record center.
All right.
That's where they're at.
All right, now. Thanks, Ike.
Okay.
1-877-920-WGNU. Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Liz?
I am outstanding.
Well, Liz, in conclusion, which pill do we take, the red pill or the blue pill? Have a nice day.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Don't forget that the shows are archived every hour at whiterosesociety.org. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Get to me. Car phone.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Okay, two things. The first thing I'd like to know, can you recommend a store where I can get, like, greeting cards and postcards from places like Africa and the different, you know, places in Africa?
Greeting cards from Africa?
No, they're not from Africa, but that, you know, have the pictures of... places in Africa is what I'm trying to say.
I don't know of any place that specializes in that type of a greeting card. Maybe you've discovered a niche.
Well, I was thinking maybe somewhere like the bookstores or something. I might be able to get postcards.
Now, I use cards at different places that have African themes, African people on them, but specifically to Africa, I'm not aware of any place.
Oh, really? That's surprising. Okay, and the next thing is, last week I got my first time ever to travel outside of the United States, and I traveled to Toronto, Canada.
Toronto? Toronto?
Toronto, Canada. Uh-huh. Yeah, some people pronounce it Toronto, but there's lots of Iranian people there,
uh-huh.
And they have a little town there that's very similar to Tehran. So they refer to it as Toronto, Canada.
Really?
Yes.
What was that like?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was very much similar to my culture, to my African culture. They love all types of fruit, and the music was somewhat on a Jamaican Caribbean style.
Really?
I went to a wedding there. I mean, it was the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen in my entire life. And when I got back to the United States, the very moment that I walked into the airport, I hope I'm not out of line for saying this, but I didn't realize how ugly Caucasian people are until I went, you know, and left and came back to the United States.
Well, when you went to, where is this place located?
It's in right outside of Richmond Hill in Toronto,
mm-hmm.
But the people refer to the city as Toronto.
Interesting. Okay.
And it's the people, the Persian women, like African women, are the most beautiful women in the world.
All right. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King.
was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's the blow. That's the blow made.
Revolution in the air, tell me brother, how we listen.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever,